You know ID in the D in the town all day. ID in the D in the SEA. You know ID in the D in the town all day. ID.
Kevin, you're live. Great.
Hello and welcome to a special live episode of the Fabulous Pelton Cast live from home. I'm your co-host, Kevin Pelton.
And I'm Tristan Carcino.
And I'm Ryan Valentino.
And he needs to be muted. And we are coming to you via Zoom. So glad you all could join us tonight. I mean, we wish we could be doing this in person, but obviously impossible right now during the pandemic. So this is the next best thing. And even though we're not all in the same room, I think it's going to feel like we are. Do you have anything to add to that, Tristan?
Is there anybody out there? Let's get these four people from the waiting room in. Is there anybody out there who has a drink with them? Perhaps a Rainier tall boy even?
I'm drinking some Nog.
Ryan Valentino's got some Nog.
This is a full pint of Rainier right here.
Are we in? Are we Zooming?
Everybody hold those drinks up.
I have water.
I have water. Is that fine?
I don't see it's in, man.
All right, well, that's pretty awesome. We got a few toasts to get to here. Let's start
with... Before we get to anything else, we want to toast to somebody special who is here with us. He has overcome so much to be at PeltonCast Live, a near-death experience earlier this year from a stroke. Everybody, the least you could do, he lived through everything to be here with you at PeltonCast Live, is toast to our friend DJ Infrared.
Woo!
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Woohoo!
All right, we got a few more toasts to get to here. Next up, let's toast to the Seattle Sounders, who dropped a touchdown last night on the San Jose Earthquakes to move into first place in the MLS Western Conference standings. 7 goals. How about that? And let's hear it for the Seattle Storm, who I have to update what the score is right now since I've been haven't been paying attention for the last couple minutes. They're still up 20 in the fourth quarter without both Subert and Brianna Stewart. One win or one Las Vegas Aces loss away from clinching the number one seed in the WNBA playoffs. Let's hear it for the Storm.
There we go. I said it couldn't be done.
You sure did. Yes, that's true. And lastly, let's hear it for the Seattle Mariners, who are still playing baseball games. They have not been eliminated from the playoff race as yet.
There we go.
You know what goes great with a nice cold?
That's right. We didn't say to come hungry, but you know on PeltonCast Live what it is. Our good friends, our sponsors at Pagliacci Pizza have been kind enough to donate to us 6 $30 Pagliacci gift cards. So if you are out there and you live within the delivery radius of Pagliacci, you can order a pizza. The first 6 people to chat Katie, she will give the gift card number with the PIN. You have to order that pizza right now. Let us know when you have it. We want to bring you on screen and see what you ordered.
All right, one or other piece of business here at the start. We're going to drop the link in the chat or otherwise go to bit.ly/PeltonCastBingo to play PeltonCast Bingo along with us during the show. Now, before we get started, we wanted to make sure that people were properly hyped. And the only appropriate way to do that is for me to share my screen so that we can watch the latest Cable Thanos hype video.
My favorite part is that Kevin can clearly hear this, but nobody else can. And then he's just enjoying himself listening to the Cable Thanos video.
Share your audio, Kevin.
Nobody else can hear it, but you look like you're having a great time listening to it.
You guys needed to tell me that much sooner.
You look like you were having so much fun. We didn't want to interrupt the fun that you were having there.
All right, hold on now. Let's try this from the top.
But let's talk about some of these rankings. And a couple things that I want to talk about. The Seahawks were not nearly as good as their record. They weren't last year, probably more than the year before.
Russell Wilson, he's done a lot of great things for the Seahawks, a lot. But he has nothing to hang his hat on.
Seattle hasn't had a meaningful playoff win in 5 years.
I got the Niners at the one seed in the NFC West, and I'm not sure it's that close.
San Francisco is so much better than Seattle on the O-line and defense line. It's not even close. It's not even close, and Seattle knows it.
You look at a team that won 11 games by one possession. That ain't gonna happen again.
I had an NFL exec say to me after this past draft, what the hell are they doing up there?
Once at the live show last year.
Well, thanks a lot to Josh Cashman, aka Cable Thanos, for allowing us to share that video. Now that we're hyped, are we sufficiently hyped? You everybody out there? Now that we're good and ready, let's get to our first guest, who is one of the few people to ask to come on the Pelton Cast, despite already being well on her way to being a multimedia star. She's taken on a new role this year, is a full-time analyst for ESPN's NFL Live show, while continuing to host the Mina Kimes show featuring Lenny. Please welcome to the show, Mina Kimes. Let's hear it from Mina. Okay.
Oh, I'm unmuted now. Hello. What's up?
Thanks so much for doing this, Mina.
Thanks for having me. I see someone else has... Many people are calling themselves the third Pelton brother. I feel like I'm the original third Pelton brother, at least the first to label herself the third Pelton brother.
You're so on, well, we did the Pelton Cast Legion of Boom, right?
And that's
that was
true,
us
yeah.
three, and I think Ben Baldwin was the fourth member of the Legion of Boom.
Adams. Yeah, that's when the power started to go to his head, I think.
Now, of course, he couldn't be here with us tonight because midnight Eastern time is so far after Ben's
Yeah, he goes to bed real early, yeah.
I mean, even if we had done this at like 5 p.m. Pacific, he wouldn't have been able to make it.
Well, what's cracking?
Well, we need to talk about your real area of expertise, which is the NFC West and specifically the LA Rams.
Ask me anything.
Do you feel like you're as up on them this year without a preseason to see John Wolfe?
Yeah, I know. I am because, hold on. I feel like, where is it? Swear the payoff will be worth it for this. Is this it? No. That's my Air Bud jersey when I win as Air Bud for Halloween.
Mina goes through the dresser behind her when she's doing ESPN videos. Is actually
all
a pretty
time,
good
man, show. All the time. It's a bunch of Seahawks. Oh, here it is. Uh-oh, y'all.
Oh, that's for the Ramley.
Oh, no.
That's my Rams polo.
Were you upset that there wasn't more of the Rams backup quarterbacks on Hard Knocks this year?
I actually think they're, what is this? Oh, wow. Look at this. It's the Beast Mode shirt. Yeah, I actually did get pretty caught up on the team because I thought I was going to call the games at the last second. So I have, if anyone wants to know about, you know, like guys who might play special teams on the Rams, I'm your gal. But you know, I have them as a solid third in the division. Okay, right,
let's,
now.
Let's start. We're going to do some buy or sell with you.
Let's
start on this note along those lines.
Let's
buy or sell that the NFC West is the best division in the NFL this year.
I am buying that. And I highly suspect I'm going to go out on a limb and I think we might have some crossover in podcast listeners. Maybe not. So people who do listen to the Me and Kai show featuring Lenny know that I've been saying that for a while, calling the NFC West a hellscape. That was even before the Jamal Adams and DeAndre Hopkins trades. Now it's even worse. I think it's highly possible we get three wildcard or three playoff teams out of the NFC West this year.
Okay. All right. Are you along those lines? Are you buying or selling that the winner of the NFC West will represent the NFC in the Super Bowl? This has happened each of the last 2 years in five of the last eight.
It's not my current pick, but I do think the NFC is wide open. Like, I think probably Saints and then Niners are probably the current biggest odds, I would guess.
I heard some good things about the Packers.
Okay, Pete Prisco. I'll take the field on that one. But I think, like, if you look at the NFC and you're thinking, okay, which of these teams could actually go to the Super Bowl, there's a disarming number of teams compared to the AFC. I mean, you'd go Saints, Niners, Bucks, Seahawks, Cowboys, to me.
Okay, so the most important question about the NFC West, though. Are you buying that Cliff Kingsbury has the best house of NFC West coaches?
That's not even his house, man. It was a rental. So no, I'm selling because the
fact
that
he. Rental?
What are you compensating for? You know, probably a crappy house. Also, that house was bizarre. Like, it had outlets in the middle of the floor, and not like the tasteful beach decor of, you know, Peter Carroll.
Have we seen the home for Kyle Shanahan? I don't feel like we know about that one.
It's probably nice.
One would assume. I think he's probably doing quite well for himself. Next up, are we buying or selling that continuity will be more important than usual this season because of the lack of OTAs, any sort of off-season activities besides like this on Zoom?
I feel like continuity matters is reaching like Jimmy Graham played basketball levels of territory in the football community. But I do think it's true. I think one thing I'll be looking for this weekend is I'll be keeping a close eye, unfortunately, including the Seahawks, on offensive line play, because that's something that struck me about Thursday night football. The contrast between the offensive lines, I think, ended up being like a pretty, maybe the biggest factor in that game, that in coaching. So I'll be curious to see. I know Russell Wilson, for example, has been pretty high on Seattle's offensive line. Although I think it'd be pretty shocking if Russell Wilson came out and was like, yeah, we are dog shit. So take that
also,
with a grain.
Also,
of
he's been watching them against the Seahawks defensive line. So that's,
fair.
That's another
a great point.
Salt.
That's a great point. Not exactly iron sharpening iron there. So fortunately, Atlanta, again, not the most ferocious pass rush.
Yeah, maybe not the best year to have turned over two spots on the offensive line. And we thought it was going to be three, but then Ethan Pusick just won the starting job over the guy you paid a decent amount of money.
Or he's that good.
That's what we're going with. On the same lines of this unusual season, buying or selling that home field advantage will be a factor this year without fans in the stands in most places, although we saw them on opening night in Kansas City, which was, as usual, quite jarring.
In many ways. Feel free to wade into my IG comments if you want to fight with some racists.
That sounds very unpleasant.
Yeah. I think it's not a huge factor, but it's actually not been a huge factor for a while in Seattle's case as well. You know, studies have shown that it's been on the decline, and you know, it's mostly about, as you guys know, crowds influencing refs. But I did, you know, travel still matters, so. I would say we'll see how kind of Vegas settles on that, but I think it'll probably be minimal.
All right. Are you buying or selling that running backs matter?
I am buying that running backs matter in short yardage situations and running into light boxes.
That sounds like running backs don't matter to me. That's what it sounds like.
You know,
like.
I'll say a hot take. I think Chris Carson is actually really good. Look, I even salivated. I was thinking about Chris Carson. I know, like, I'm not on the, like, everyone is fungible train. I think he actually has some unique talent.
Are you buying or selling that Chris Carson will be extended by the Seahawks?
You know, I guess it depends on the law, his health, his season. I think I could see them doing like an Eckler style deal with him, Frank, because they do have a lot of cap space, as we know, because they didn't spend it on a pass rusher.
Wow. What was the Eckler deal for those of us who are not following the running back?
I believe it was 4.8. it was quite reasonable, as I recall.
Okay.
Came in at, you know, under $10 million a year.
All right, along the lines of that last one, are you buying or selling the research that pass coverage is more important than pass rush?
I am praying that it's true. I really am. Yeah, it is funny. I think, well, I mean, certainly our team is going to be a test case for that. Let me flip it on you. Would you rather have Jamal Adams, setting aside the value and the trades and all, and what we had to pay for Jamal Adams, would you rather have Jamal Adams or Jadeveon Clowney?
I think probably Jamal Adams. I mean, I think Clowney, yeah, he impacts the run game as well as is a pass rusher, even with the lack of sacks last season. But yeah, I'd rather have Adams. Tristan?
Also, that's who we have. So cognitively, we have to say Jamal Adams.
Oh, shuts to rationalization.
Wow. You're never coming on First Take.
Okay. Mina, this is another one for your Instagram. Are you buying or selling that Colin Kaepernick will be on an NFL roster this season?
Selling.
Outside of Madden.
Selling.
Yeah, sadly, that seems like the right answer.
Unfortunately so.
I mean, if he was going to end up anywhere, do you think there's a situation in particular that's most likely?
Yeah, I mean, I think it would be like a team like Tennessee that doesn't have a viable backup, but, you know, has a quarterback with a history of injuries. I think that's the only way he ends up on a team is if a reasonably good NFL team without depth. Pittsburgh's another team that really, frankly, should take a look. Those are teams like that, I think, would be the ones most likely to sign him just out of sheer necessity.
Last night, the Midwest was really open to that type of politics. Okay, Amina, are you buying or selling that this season Pete Carroll will let Russ cook?
You know, it's impossible to know, but I'll tell you this. Pete Carroll is very cognizant of the pressure to let Russ cook. And I think I loved it when he joked about it the other day. We joked about hammering the rock. I thought that was super funny and trolly.
Good one.
So, but you know, we won't know until we see. I think week one would certainly be a prime cooking condition against that Atlanta secondary. But you know, I think it's really not a massive change that's needed, to be honest. I mean, we're talking about the fifth most efficient offense in football. All we're really asking is for like a tweak, you know, especially in early downs and in the first half. And I don't think it would be very difficult to do that. There's been seasons where Russ has thrown more and the Seahawks offense wasn't as good, frankly. Friend of mine, Mike Sanda, wow, that is a graphic Zoom image in one of these boxes. It just caught my eye. So anyways, sorry about that. Okay, he's closed it out. speaking of letting things cook. So yeah, I think he might crank it up a little bit.
It's somewhere in between ordering out and cooking. I don't know what that is. That's like charcuterie.
Yeah, it's like Blue Apron, you know?
Okay, there we go. That's a good one.
Actually, that's a lot of cooking. That's too much cooking for me.
Yeah, it really just saves you the prep work, not so much the cooking. Are you buying or selling that Seahawks Twitter is the most obnoxious Twitter?
Oh, selling. Not even close. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's pretty annoying, but... Patriots Twitter makes Seahawks Twitter honestly look like a salon, like intelligent discourse and like a gentlemanly conversation. My friend Greg
Barstool message boards, right?
Sorry?
The Barstool message boards are basically Patriots Twitter.
Yeah, it's just so intense over there. You know, my friend Greg Rosenthal at NFL Network has said, and I think correctly, the worst Twitters are Pats, I think like just like the New England teams in general, and then any team who thinks their young quarterback is good, even though he's not.
I mean, and the Josh Allen tweets.
I'm not saying which Twitters those are, but it used to be Bears Twitter like 2 years ago, no longer.
I told a story yesterday on the fantasy football podcast we did because we were discussing Daniel Jones's value. I guess that was in the over-under podcast of us watching Daniel Jones's debut with a bunch of Giants fans who were very hyped about it. That was a rough day because the Seahawks lost to the Saints.
Seattle, yes, to Teddy.
Yes.
That was, yeah, we can never watch football together again, sorry.
You know, it was a good run, but it actually wasn't a good run at all. It was an educational
experience. It was a squeaker.
Because I got to see your genius at Twitter at work, just like constructing a meme on the fly, figuring out the exact perfect reference to go with. You asked me like something and I was like, I have no idea what you're talking about. I'm not aware.
Regarding Daniel Jones or?
I forget what it was exactly, the specifics of it. It was just like, it was a fun, I was seeing Mina cook basically.
Yeah, the sausage's name. Well, I have a folder of videos that I like. Like, if I see a video I like of like an animal or something, I save it in my folder. So it's got like.
Okay, so along those lines, another question we want to pose here, and we're going to take a look at a series of photos. We're going to try and figure out what is the best Seahawks meme. Okay.
Wow. It's so bright. Okay.
It has changed the lighting in a lot of people's rooms here, that we've gone from the black background to this.
I know. Like, whoa. Oh, no.
Oh, how did that one
go? Oh, God. Oh, no.
That's not a thing. I tried to do. Oh, okay. What is. Oh, yeah. That was a big day.
Yeah. Everyone went crazy for like a week over Baby Yoda Russ. And then I feel like it kind of died out pretty quickly. Is it still a thing?
No, but that was the beauty of it. It was like a cicada, like it lived and then died and, you know, what didn't, it was nice while it lasted.
Does that, or is it going to be like,
drawing. Oh, sorry.
I don't know who's managing to overcome the stools here, but,
they just drew a penis. Okay.
It's so quick. Any Zoom room, as you know. All right. Next meme.
Keep coming. Oh, I mean, that's a legendary, that's like an OG Super Bowl meme.
I agree. I think this one might be my personal favorite. Pete is just so thrilled. Like, he gets so excited in a big victory. And then it was like Mr. Peanut.
Who made that?
I don't know who was originally behind that one.
That's solid.
Okay. So Pete, like, as frustrating as he can sometimes be as a coach in terms of his willingness to let Russ cook, the man is a content machine. So we've got some more Pete coming.
He's truly a provider of, oh God. Oh no, we don't want this. We don't want shocked Pete.
Yeah, that was the Stephen Hauschka miss of the
I don't need bad memory. I don't need this bad juju before opening day.
Uh-oh, well, we got some more.
Is this Seattle? Oh, okay. This is the playoffs as well.
Yeah, this is the end of the loss to the Falcons in 2017, I believe.
Suboptimal. I forget that we lost to the Falcons twice in the last few years in the playoffs. Get some revenge this weekend. I feel like I've gotten too friendly with Falcons fans.
I mean, Falcons Twitter does not seem like a mean-spirited Twitter.
No, and they're so pitiful that it's hard to hate them.
Right.
Plus, I love Matt Ryan.
Matt Ryan, so underrated.
Super underrated. Good dude, too. I mean, this is just quality because you can just really use it in so many situations.
I mean, a lot of my research here was just going back through Zach Whitman's timeline, and he is a connoisseur of Seahawks memes. So I found this there so many times.
I like this one.
And Pete keeping his eyes safe, unlike our current president. So give it to Pete there. Next up, of course, Tom
okay,
Cable.
I think I invented this.
Oh, did you? Because there it is.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Cable Thanos, you owe me royalties. And by royalties, I mean never put me in a video.
And shouts to Grant Goldberg for actually doing the Photoshop on that one after you suggested it.
Yes, yes. Doing the work that I'm too lazy to do. Is this a meme? This is more like a great sports moment, I feel.
I feel like it can be used as a meme. Like, your reaction to something is Marshawn grabbing his crotch as he scores a touchdown. Is this the Beastquake touchdown?
Let's see. Yeah, that's Obo. Yeah. The other one was the Cardinals game, and Obo wasn't on it. Right. And I don't think they were wearing Reeboks by then.
No, I mean, that was in the new jerseys, the other one.
Some ugly-ass jerseys.
But some good memories, nonetheless, those ugly jerseys.
I mean...
A classic.
The sad thing was he posted it and then deleted it. You remember that?
You just want to own that. Because you won the game.
That's also... It's just great because it's like one of my favorite Seahawks games of the last like 10 years.
The Seahawks-Patriots games in the regular season, important distinction here, have been really good.
I'm gonna pop into this chat. Do not at Richard Sherman. Leave me out of this, Zach Whitman. All right.
Last year's draft combine, DK Metcalf showing off his physique, and Pete Carroll, of course.
Is why people love, like, players love Pete Carroll. Like, I know, in-game management, but... he's beloved. Like, he's like, what coach does that? You know, Kyle Shanahan's not going to take his shirt off.
I feel like he's very much. I could see it.
Fucking stellar.
Still not, however, the most famous shirtless Seahawks meme. Oh, I've come backwards.
Oh,
that's instead. Yeah. John Schneider in the championship belt.
This is, I believe Earl Thomas posted it, then took it down. Which in retrospect is probably the most innocent thing Earl Thomas has ever posted and then taken down.
Well, about this that. We asked John Schneider to be here tonight, but he's still busy monitoring the Jadeveon Clowney situation.
Upsetting. Is that Walter Thurman next to him? Yeah. Oh, God. Doug Baldwin.
He was so angry.
And
the fact that he's next to Shoddy, it just makes it all the better, I think.
I know, behind that stupid... Oh, yeah. Shoddy's wearing a visor, too.
Oh, as always.
Yeah. Do you think he's going to wear the visor this year? Any predictions? Also, is Shoddy going to wear a mask? Well, they all have to, right?
I mean, I was very concerned that Andy Reid was not going to be able to see it by the end of that game last night.
What kind of mask is Pete going to wear? And can he chew gum with a mask on?
Well, I mean, if, what was that, Juju Hughes? If he can have a toothpick in while having a mask on, yeah. I feel like you can chew gum. Pete Carroll chewing gum narrowly missed the list of best Seahawks memes. That's high up there as well.
So I have an artifact. This gum is from Pete Carroll.
What?
I got all these bubble yums because I did this event with him. So Pete Carroll, I mean, like an assistant, probably sent me thank you with a ton of bubble yum. And let me just tell you, these are enormous pieces of gum. After doing it for like 20 seconds, I'm like, I do not know how he works one of those all game.
He's been doing it for years. He's well skilled at that. All right, that's all we have for the Seahawks memes. Do you have a vote after taking a look at that? What was the best Seahawks meme?
I got to go with WWE Schneider. That's my favorite image of all of them. And it's the most like meme-like, so.
I think that's fair.
There's one particular John Schneider meme, which actually would have been perfect for this particular exercise and did not make the list.
Well, yeah. So
where were you to suggest that? do you have anything else to add, Tristan, in terms of memes?
No, those are great memes.
Memes, solid memes.
should we take a few questions from the chat while we're here?
Yeah, I'll take questions. Are we all taking them? Sorry.
I'll read them. Will Jamal Adams bring Legion of Boom version 2.0?
Yeah, but it's going to be different, right? I'm really curious week one to see how he's used. As I'm sure everyone here knows, Seattle had sort of been deviating from the old cover three over the last couple of years more and more. Thinking about Jamal Adams is like he really plays fine. You know, he's great at man, great at zone. Like he can kind of do it all. So I'll be curious to see how he's deployed. I mean, they seem to have an abundance of riches. I'm sure you guys have heard all the Marquise Blair hype coming out of camp. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
I feel like that's been Jamal Adams and Marquise Blair have been the most hyped players coming out of camp. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think so. There's been a lot of DK Metcalf hype as well, which seemed impossible to top last year, but they are calling him like, you know, the next Julio. So we'll see.
Okay. Someone asked if you have teriyaki takes.
I'm not like a Seattle food person, so I don't know if I have a good answer for you. True answer is I'm not really a teriyaki person.
Wow. Wow. You know, it was a good run, Mina, but I'm afraid you've been canceled.
Have you canceled? Oh, man. It's not even me- good. Wait until I'm too positive after the Seahawks' first loss, then cancel me. Zach Whitman will cancel me. For not being angry.
Not many people are wondering where Lenny is, Mina.
Oh man, he's downstairs. Chilling. We were watching Ted Lasso. Well, actually, we were watching basketball. I don't know if you guys caught the end of that.
I was very excited that there was not overtime. That was all I was rooting for. Was
yeah.
Whoever is ahead, just keep that lead. besides you, who's the best celebrity Seahawks fan?
I do not consider myself a celebrity Seahawks fan. It's not Macklemore.
You know who it's not?
Oh, wow.
The Office is a big
fan. I had to call out that it wasn't specifically Macklemore.
What's his name? From Chris Pratt. He kind of sucks. Joel McHale.
Wow, shots fired. Yes.
Who am I missing? Who are the Seahawks?
Rainn Wilson, did you mention him?
Yeah.
On the actor list?
He's good. Yeah. He's cool. Chill with him. Oh, Ken Jennings. Best celebrity Seahawks fan. No question.
There we go.
Next host of Jeopardy, perhaps. Hopefully not for a long time until Alex Trebek retires. All right. We had someone jump in the chat. Apparently, we have a couple bingos. So.
Coaster makes a lot. You're right, Natalie. Where's Natalie? Sorry to.
I'm inviting the people who. Can I unmute people? Bingo. There we go. There it is.
Good. Hey,
what were your categories?
My categories?
We got Arby's, don't matter. We got WoW, which, Al, coming from you, really was expecting Tristan on that one, but that's
true.
We got Pete, hammer that rock. We got teriyaki and Baby Yoda Russ.
Wow.
Congratulations, though.
Yeah. I'll wear my.
Do you have pizza coming on the way also?
We do have pizza coming on the way.
You're doing the entirety of Peltoncast Live. You're getting it all.
More from us shortly.
Matt, did you also have a bingo? Wherever you are?
Yeah.
What were your categories?
I had Mina's Rams, Let Russ Cook, Baby Yoda Russ, Trader Mina, and Teriyaki.
There you go. Congrats.
Some of them were Trader Mina related.
Yeah.
So sorry. Wow. Thank you for doing this podcast.
I know.
She deserves it. It's fine.
Yeah, I was going to go get Lenny on the way out. He doesn't need to be around this house.
No. I miss Lenny.
All right, y'all. I'll get Lenny in that before I bounce. One second.
Okay, that'll be our last thing. Natalie, do you have any good Mina or Lenny stories to tell us while she's doing this to fill time here?
Oh, man. That's a good question. Good Mina or Lenny stories. I mean, we watched the 2015 NFC Championship together. So that was like a beautiful, crazy time in this bar in Brooklyn.
That was you and Lenny, right?
Yeah, me and Lenny, yeah, in the bar. Mina was at home. No, but Mina and I were there. And it was just like a situation where just nobody cared as much as us. I mean, because it's like Brooklyn, you know. And so it's like we're like Mina was like standing on a chair at one point, I'm pretty sure. It was just, yeah, it was good.
That sounds like
and,
a more fun.
And then curse, you know, curse, Jermaine curse happened and, you know, the world was beautiful. Everything was great.
We already had a bingo, but we forgot to put Curse Crew as one of the bingo squares, which is
what?
Obviously that was going to come up with Natalie on the show. Lenny was also a bingo square. And here's the first appearance by Lenny.
Hi.
Hi, Lenny. Aww.
Does Lenny have a question?
No. I mean, he answers questions. I guess he does usually ask one. Yeah. Lenny, you want him to ask you a question?
Lenny, well, who's Lenny's favorite Seahawks player? I'm curious about that.
Bobby Wagner. Come on.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Well, that was too obvious, wasn't it?
I feel like I make that joke like every day.
I caught the Westie, NFC Westie joke that in your NFC West preview with Dominique Foxworth.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. If you had your money on me having the bad pun bingo square, Mina beat me to that one.
I thought it was a pretty good pun, actually. Well, guys, my fingers are crossed for this weekend. What's the sentiment like before we go?
Tristan and I were split on.
Think you're gonna win.
Tristan and I were split on this one in terms of the percentage
thumbs
chances.
Down.
Of victory.
Now he's got thumbs up.
Jordan barks.
Oh, wow.
He's tired.
No, Lenny is yawning at your thumbs down. Is what's
going
on?
Oh, Lenny hates the take. This should have been the whole live pod.
Lenny does not like it when the Seahawks lose because mommy gets angry. And the atmosphere in the house is not positive. So, and the worst part is, this is what it sucks about the 10 a.m. game, is because of my job, extremely first world problem incoming, I can't just like sulk the rest of the day and drink. I'm like, oh, angry, you know?
You've got to watch more football.
We'll have to watch Tom Brady and Drew Brees now. But LJ Collar, that's good. I like that one.
Yeah.
Jordan barks. Yeah. Sorry.
Thanks so much to Mina for taking the time out of your busy schedule. Remember that you can see her all season long on NFL Live, weekdays on ESPN, and to listen to the Mina Kimes Show featuring Lenny.
What's that, Lenny? Wow, he just said he hates the Rams.
Oh, wow. There you go.
Lenny is really trying to win us over after that.
The true Seahawks fan in that.
All right, go Hawks.
Thanks, Mina.
I was asked last week about the hashtag let Russ cook. You know, basically letting him go a little bit earlier, more aggressive in the first half. And he was like, yeah, that's an idea I can get behind. And mention the stat when you guys are 56-0 and up at halftime, or up by 4 at halftime, I think it is. Have you given any thought to that at all, or are you kind of going with the same run-first approach that we're used to?
Yeah, we're just going to hammer the rock. That's all we're doing right there. We're hammering the rock.
All right. We're going to come back to the NFL and the Seahawks in a bit here to more specifically preview the 2020 season with Natalie, as well as Mike Sean Dugar of The Athletic. But now, you know what time it is. Time for us to find the co-hosts here and make sure that they are unmuted so we can move on to our next segment.
Hello?
Hey, Brooke.
Yes.
Randy, Chris, you guys there?
Yep.
Yo.
Hello.
What's up, dudes? Thanks for having me.
All right, we got an intro to start this off first. Real quick. I'm Kevin Pelton.
Hi, I'm Rick Olsendale.
I'm Tristan Carcino.
Hi, Tristan.
I'm Chris Smith.
What up? I like your background.
And I'm Randy Cote.
And we're talking taco time.
I'm so honored. You guys have no clue.
Taco time is a special way to make your day a sunshine day.
Taco time is a special you know our guest for Talkin' Taco Time tonight is the courtside reporter for the Portland Trail Blazers. You see the Damian Lillard jersey there behind her. But more importantly for this interview, she has tweeted repeatedly hoping to be sponsored by Taco Time. Please welcome to the show, Brooke Ellison Dam. Let's hear it for Brooke.
I'm right.
Yes.
I mean, guys, first of all, this is the pinnacle of my career, being here to talk about my favorite fast food restaurant. And you are correct. I've unabashedly, shamelessly been trying to become the face of Taco Time for a decade, maybe longer now. And they, you know, they think it's cute, and they will, you know, retweet or, you know, little cute little taco clapback or whatever, but they're not into it. And I'm not done. I'm going to keep trying, but you know, I'm getting tired. I give them so much of my money. If only they knew, but anyways.
I mean, we have some connections here at Taco Time Northwest HQ. So we're going to see what we can do with this podcast appearance. So I actually first became aware that you were a Taco Time fan before you were in Portland, when you were working for the Indiana Pacers. And remarkably, this was when I was a consultant for the Pacers, so I was paying close attention to them. And there was a Taco Time North like group in Indiana somehow, including Tom Lewis, who has been a third Pelton brother on this podcast. Mike Wells, who was the beat writer for the Star, went to Central, I think. And then Ryan Carr, the director of college scouting, who I worked with pretty closely, who grew up in, I think, Federal Way. And so you had this bizarre Northwest connection in the heartland. How did you guys all learn of your shared love of Taco Time?
Well, so Mike Wells, it was kind of funny. When I first took the job in Indiana with the Pacers, he was the first person to interview me for, you know, to write a story on it. So we became tight early. Obviously, I worked with Ryan Carr, not closely, but, you know, I would see him at games. And then I don't know how Tom and I, we just, you know, we tweet each other. And I think it was a tweet that I said something about it, you know, Indy really needs a Taco Time. And then all of a sudden, like, what? Whoa. You know Taco Time? And then it was like, we're best friends now. We are best friends. So we joked about all going in on a store together in Indianapolis that never came to fruition. But, you know, it's kind of like, I like that it's at home. You know, it's something where I'm excited to get it at home, because that's at me. I'm home. I got my Taco Time. This is good to go. So it's okay that there isn't one in Indianapolis. But I can't tell you, Ryan Carr, again, his basketball mind so deep. Mike Wells, so smart. And we talked about Taco Time. One third of our conversations, the other two were maybe basketball, and that kind of shows how much we dig it.
Okay, so an important thing we got to get into. Mm-hmm. You're from Spokane, went to Wazoo. Okay. We talk a lot about Taco Time International versus Taco Time Northwest here on the western side of the state. Is there a specific affiliation or a preference for one of those two for you?
That is a great question. So I'm actually at my dad's house right now. I'm sure you guys have heard the fires down in Oregon, you know.
Yeah, terrible.
You know, yeah, prayers up to everybody. The smoke was so bad that I got in the car and came up here. So this is my dad's bachelor pad in Leschi. So there is a Taco Time right when you get up the freeway. Every time I come here, it's waiting for me. So that's a fan favorite, because it's like a present at the end of the 3-hour drive. So I really look forward to that. That one's is my one of my favorites. And then the one I went to, like, growing up in Spokane, going to high school on division, that one has a special place in my heart as well. So it's you know, it's your the first time you had it, it's kind of special. So those two are my favorite, but I really haven't met one I don't like. But I think those two are the ones that I frequent the most, and so they're pretty special to me. I would say those two. So I would say Northwest for sure.
Okay.
There.
That's good to hear. Yeah, that's important.
I'm so relieved right now. I thought you were going to get canceled.
No. I'm all about
that. I was just going to mute her.
You were just, what did you say, Chris?
I was just going to mute her. We're not going Northwest. I don't know where we're going.
Have to be.
Actually, I'm currently in my friend's garage in Leschi, and I picked up a crisp burrito from the Rainier Taco Time for the occasion. So
I had it today, my friend.
Obviously.
I couldn't save it this long, so that's long gone, the one I got, but I'm impressed that you did. We could have done this together. We probably never done this together. But my question, do you dip yours in ranch or Thousand Island?
I have a mixture of ranch and hot sauce here, obviously.
It's always ranch, hot sauce. I don't
Especially mix. Since they canceled the habanero. Get out of here.
I know. Yeah, well, I like to. So I've actually, my palate has changed over the years. I used to dip my taco, I used to dip in what I called taco burger sauce, which is just Thousand Island. I don't know why, I don't know if other people call it that. But
that's
I used
old
to,
school, taco yeah, burger okay. sauce, I like that.
Thank you. I always got four, which no one needs four, but I would use all four. And now it's just, I'm a ranch girl at heart. And there really is no better ranch than a Taco Time Ranch.
It's unlike other ranches. I don't think this is our ranch episode of Talking Taco Time. We've had the other ice episode. It's a different flavor palette, don't you think?
I don't know. Maybe when you combine the ranch and the hot sauce.
I'll have to try that. I'm not knocking it. It sounds divine. I'll do it tomorrow when I go back to that exact Taco Time. I'll try it.
I say dip one, then dip the other. You're gonna want to dip ranch first, because if you dip the hot sauce first, the ranch doesn't stick, slides off.
Adhere. Yeah, I feel that wholeheartedly in my heart.
That's some Taco Time engineering right there.
Years of experience have gone into that Taco Time take.
I love this.
Yeah, I didn't even eat the ranch at first. Back in, 2001.
Well, I remember a couple times, and I know this has happened to, I guess it's with, when you order food or you pick it up or drive through, and now, a lot of us are ordering through Uber Eats or whatever, but when you put ranch, extra ranch, and it does not arrive, it is a day ruiner. A day ruiner. So I have now made sure, I'm that gal that she hands me the bag, I'm like, did you put the ranch in? She's like, yes. I'm like, okay, there's a line of cars behind me. I will dig everything out of that bag, because I ain't leaving unless my four ranches are in there.
Yeah, and hot
four sauce. Ranches, holy shit.
Four ranches.
And you only get one for free.
You have to pay for the other ranches? Wow.
Yeah, around here, you should be getting them for free. That's you know what I'm saying? We can have a talk with the management if we need to.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Once you're the face of Taco Time, you're gonna get all the free ranch you want.
Yeah. Do you think Pat Cashman pays for ranch? Honestly.
Yeah. Well, not if they recognize him from Pierre Money Mark commercials.
You know, we were at school at the same time. Cashman and I think he was a senior and I was a freshman. Yeah. So we ran in the same circles. I haven't seen him for a long time, but that's funny. That just rings a bell for me.
A small world for sure.
For sure.
Okay, so we've gotten the ranch part of it, but what else is part
Cashman.
Of your
This
is
on Chris Cashman. My bad. Right. I didn't go to college with Cashman.
You're actually.
I was going to say, you look.
I figured people were going to assume that, yes.
I have lots of night cream. I mean, lots of the facial routine.
Beyond that.
What else is in your go to Taco Time order?
Okay, so. If I'm feeling like I should be a little bit healthy, which doesn't happen all the time, and it's not even healthy whatsoever, and I convince myself in my mind, the Taco Time salad, then I just, of course, use the, the outside, the shell, just to, with a lot of ranch, use that as pretty much as a spoon. So that really is, that's deep fried. It's really not that healthy whatsoever, but I like that. I like the soft burrito, but then soft chicken burrito. But you guys know that they used to put ranch in the soft taco burrito, and then they stopped. So now you have to ask for it, and then they do it by hand. At least the ones I go to.
The soft burrito is just chicken burrito sauce, cheese. Everything else you got to make sure you tell them to put it in there.
Yeah, see, I like that ranch inside of it, so I have to ask. And then, so that's, but it all comes down to the crisp meat burrito and crisp chicken burrito for me. Those are my two favorite ones, again, with ranch. But the soft chicken taco with ranch inside, that's a great. You know what I miss so much, though? And obviously, I heard Mina talk about first world problems, and there's so many things going on, so this is not that big of a deal. But I do miss going into a Taco Time with the hot sauce bar, the sauce.
So Brooke, here's the deal. I'm on a quest to visit every single Taco Time Northwest, all 79. And that quest came to a screeching halt in March.
Oh, how many?
Because I got to go inside or it doesn't count. So I'm desperate. And the hot sauce, pump. I mean, that's truly what dreams are made of.
How many have you made it to? What's your list?
Oh God, I'd have to pull up the spreadsheet. But before the end of the segment, I'll pull it up.
I thought it was
close to 50, wasn't it? When we last checked?
We're past half, I know that much.
Yeah, definitely past, let's see. I'm sitting at so of official visits, I'm sitting at just shy of 75%. Wow. So 74.68% for the, stats nerds in the house. There's some that I've been to, but I don't count them as official. If you counted those, it'd be 81%. So I've only got 20 to go. So you know, wear a mask and I'll be out there, you know, hitting those taco times in no time.
When you actually, when you reach your goal, will you say it's your proudest moment in life?
I don't doubt that at all. I probably will just like,
cry.
I don't know, cry. Yeah, it'll be tough. But also if taco time, similar with you wanting to get official like spokeswoman status, if I, on the 79th taco time, am not greeted with like at least a confetti cannon or Ned the cactus, it, I don't know what I'll do.
Well, I think Randy needs a taco time commercial where he drives around with Pat Cashman and visits every single taco time.
I like that. Well, if you have gotten down to your last one, like you're it's going to be that week, I think you really need to let all of us know so that we can be there to greet you, and we will at least have confetti.
Thinking the same thing. We all need to be there and record live.
Yeah, live talking taco time.
Yeah, that would be an occasion for to record a talking taco time for sure.
This isn't a long, this kind of a long thing. Oh, sorry, I'm totally interrupting.
So go, Brooke.
It just reminded me of something. It's not totally taco time related, which we'll get back to. But my mom had kind of something similar to your list. She wanted to have, before she died, she's still alive. She wanted to go have a beer in every state in the country. And she had, the last two were the Carolinas. She had never been. She literally has had a beer in 48. And so we went to watch the Cougs in the Sweet 16 in Charlotte, North Carolina. We got there. We had to go straight to have a beer. That was 49. And then she rented a car so we could drive to South Carolina just over the border so she'd get her 50th one. And that was really neat. That's the end of that story.
Having a beer in 50 states, that is very specific.
I'm trying to think of all the states I've had a beer in. It's definitely not 50, but
yeah, it's a lot shy of 50. Did I have a beer in South Carolina? I don't think I ever did.
Don't have the wine, I'll tell you that.
I'm the South Carolina house wine, please.
It's like grape juice. I mean, actually, that's not true. I like grape juice. It's worse.
Brooke, are there any past Taco Time favorites of yours that are no longer on the menu?
Let's see. Those ones I told you, my staples were like, those are my favorites. I will say, can I turn it over and say that the newer ones that I wasn't sure about, the stuffed, to the cheese stuffed, what do we call them?
Cheese stuffed Mexi fries or?
Yeah, something like that. They're kind of, I wasn't
National.
Sure.
Yeah.
Those ones I wasn't sure about because, you know, their tater tots are like the best. They're like, I could cry. They're so good. So I was like, wait a second. I don't want to mess anything up here, but I tried them and I do like them, but if I have to go on, I'm still going obviously tater tots. But then they also added, what was the thing they added recently that I was unsure of? It was a dessert like item. Oh, shoot, I can't remember. But everything I've liked has been on the menu since. And I'm a real kind of purist. I stick to the things that I know I love. And I order the same things every single time. I should probably venture out and say I should try everything, and now I'm going to do that. But at the beginning, those all those things were there. Like I said, they changed the soft taco a little bit. I had to reel them back in and say hello, let's go back to the way it was. But other than that, there's really nothing bad on the menu.
The hosts of Talkin' Taco Time are showing the most restraint I have ever seen human beings show every time you say tater tots and not Mexi fries.
I have a blood vessel that's just like twitching wildly over here.
Oh, you're Chris, right away. You could have said,
I could have a taco burger.
My bad. Oh, the taco burger. Good call.
Taco burger's the bomb.
That's Mexi. Oh, I'm actually mortified right now that I've been calling it that. Mexi fries. It's been a long day. I drove 3 hours. Forgive me.
You're forgiven.
Okay.
Your love is pure.
This is the least safe space with regards to taco time that exists anywhere on earth.
It is true.
It felt weird saying it. I didn't know why. And then when you just said that, I'm like my heart jumped out of my chest a little bit. That was a major faux pas on my part.
All right, we've got a recommendation, I think, instead of a question, which is, or have you tried the app for ordering here at the Leschi location to customize your orders?
I haven't, but I'm all up for apps. I haven't done it yet. I would say I come here enough that I should have the app, but I have the same routine. You know, I drive right in, go through the drive-thru, stop at the grocery store, and then head over to here. So I kind of have my routine, but I'm not opposed to the app. I will try the app tomorrow.
Just great in terms of customization. We can't recommend it enough. We talked about the Pacers group of Taco Time devotees. Are there any other Blazers employees, members of the team, coaching staff who are big Taco Time fans that you know of?
I get into so many arguments. I will say I love my Portland peeps, but they can be food snobs. Many can be food snobs. So when I always rave about it, like Casey Holdall is our beat writer, and he's like, well, I don't get it. I was like, well, you got to go have it. He's like, I'm sure I've had it at some point. Like, if you don't know, then you haven't had it. Like, that's just how it is. If you're like, I'm sure I've had it, no, that's not true. So I'm trying to get him to go, but he has, his mom and pop, which is great, like in his corner. And I'm like, just try it one time. So I got to tell you, guys, I'm kind of on an island in Portland with my Taco Time love. I really am. Everyone has their special little spots, and we have so many food trucks, which i.e. so many taco trucks, that everyone has their favorite one too. And I totally get supporting local businesses. I do that very often. I'm definitely a foodie, but when it comes to my fast food, it's me. And I get into arguments all the time, and everybody knows how much I love, like people know that before they know many other things. Like, oh yeah, you love Taco Time. I'm like, that is my legacy.
Same for everybody here. If you would have told us Dame Lillard drives to Kelso just for Taco Time Northwest, we would have just ended the whole podcast.
Dave might have someone drive to Kelso to get in Taco Time. He ain't doing it. I'll ask some players. I haven't talked to them as much about why haven't I? The people that our travel squad, like our media people, which we are together so much, or we were when we were traveling, so they all know. And like I've said, many heated arguments, but I'll get to the bottom of the fast food with the guys when we resume interviews and when we get to see each other again. It's a great one.
Kevin has shown us that nothing is off the table when talking to athletes, especially Taco Time.
Yeah, I have asked Brian Schmetzer about Taco Time, and I think that's it so far, isn't it?
I thought you talked to Sue Bird about Taco Time.
No, I don't think Taco Time specifically ever came up with Sue. We talked about Taco's Chukies with her.
Ah, there it is. Yeah. Very different.
Can you ask Nate McMillan next time?
Well, I mean, Nate McMillan has a favorite Taco Time item. If I were to go dig up the Taco Time Sonics cards from the early 1990s, I can tell you what it claims, at least, is his favorite Taco Time order.
Well, palates change over 30 years, so.
I mean, it's true.
And let's face it, they probably were like, what is our least selling item? That's going to be Nate McMillan's favorite in the playing deck of cards. Like,
disrespect.
It'll play a lot of defense, I know that. His favorite.
Yeah, we need to start these Taco Time supporters groups all over the country, like Liverpool fans.
Well, we know there's one in Arizona.
And now Indiana.
Portland, I think, maybe. That's two. Talking Taco Time is the Taco Time supporters group in Seattle.
No, there happens. So when I was looking for a house in Portland, like my first house, like I was so excited. I was looking everywhere. And this is so, you guys will appreciate this. I'm driving down Barber. I don't know if you're familiar with it. I am now that I've lived there for 5 years. So I'm going down Barber Boulevard, and there's a bunch of fast food restaurants. And this is on my way to look at this house. And there's a Taco Time. And then we took like the next left and just like a half mile up, took a left. And the house itself was great, but I did know, I was conscious that there was a Taco Time within a mile. And you guys don't even know how much that one's frequented. One time I was like looking down to grab something out of my car, you know, the Taco Time bucks. I had like a stack of cards you would play with of Taco Time cards. I'm like, it's been too long since I've been there, and it had not been that long since I've been there. They know me well.
All right, well, Dakota, we have anything else to get to here?
I mean, I just want to say I'm blown away at how Taco Time ambidextrous you are, Brooke.
Yeah.
Like, you just like are so seamless, and your love for Taco Time is so pure. Whereas, like, I've only had what we consider to be the other Taco Time outside of Western Washington one time at a truck stop in Idaho, which was not a great first experience, I can admit. But it's a pretty divisive topic, but it's hard to hate on the other Taco Time when you talk so lovingly about it and you have deep love for Taco Time Northwest. So I would say just kudos.
Well, thank
you're
you.
You're kind of turning me around, giving me a little soft spot.
Because, yeah, it's yeah.
I don't want to change anyone.
I mean, I think one thing that stands out is Brooke is like sticking to the menu items that are common to both taco times, as opposed to like experimenting deep into the international menu with its greater variety and
Ups and downs. Brooke would have said that her favorite item was the big Juan burrito, I would have lost all respect for you. But the fact that you're sticking with like a crisp burrito and a soft taco, it's like, I see you. You're trying to get the Taco Time Northwest experience in Portland. I get it.
Thank you. Yeah, no, I'm definitely a purist. And I mean, like this conversation is really making me feel like I need to branch out a little bit just to say that I did. I'll probably still go back to my favorites, but I don't think I'll be hitting the big one anytime soon. I forgot about the big one.
You mentioned the Taco Time box and all of us smiled and nodded, but none of us had any idea what you were talking about.
Completely oblivious. Yeah. Just like I
was like, Taco Time box. Those
we get the gift cards at Christmas and I put them in the app. I don't know where they
Whatever
are.
Whatever these cheese filled tater tots are.
We have to move on from that. I will lose sleep. I feel terrible about that. So they're pink. You can get a pink one or a yellow one. I should. You know what? My car is, if it weren't two blocks away, I'd go get them. But you get, if you spend a certain amount, which I always spend a certain amount, you get, like, I think it's like $15. You get a dollar. And so I have a lot of those. And they're pink yellow. They just say Taco Time Bucks. And that's their buck.
You're going to love the Taco Time Northwest app. Because they give you $5 every 100 bucks.
Not anymore. Remember now the free item, free entree, every 100 bucks.
Flipping, Chris.
Which is worth more than $5. Get yourself a casita burrito. That's like $8 worth right there.
I got a solid $7.50 out of my shrimp soft taco the last time I had my reward.
When I get into these arguments with people, some people think Taco Time is too expensive for them. They say of all the, fast food talk. I think a lot of those people grew up with Taco Bell, which understandably, that is, cheaper, more affordable. But one of their arguments is that it's too expensive. And I'm like, you get what you pay for. It's you get perfection. Yeah.
God forbid good food costs a little more.
That's what I'm saying.
100%.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, Brooke. This was incredible. We've never met a person in real life who is equally as into both of the Taco Times, not the Talkin' Taco Times. There's only one of those. equally as into both of the Taco Times. Thank you for enlightening us about this.
Thank you so much for having me, you guys. I can't believe I wasn't your first guest, but I'll get over it. I was telling my girlfriends about it. One's in Boise now and one's in LA. And us three all went to Washington State together with Lindsay, who I grew up with. So from Spokane, she knows Taco Time. And I told them about, I was going on this tonight and they were like, this is so you. Like, this is the most book thing I've ever heard in my life. I was like, that's the most I've excited I've been for anything is to go on this. They were just dying. They might be on it. They said, I don't know. They're probably asleep. But they were like, this is exactly what you should be doing. This makes perfect sense. So this was a lot of fun. Thank you guys for having me. And let's bring back the Sonics, right?
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was a great note to close on.
Randy and Chris, stick around. We've got a couple of bingos to get to, right? Can we unmute Noah and Joe?
Are we doing additional bingos?
Hell yeah, we are. You have more hats, right?
Yes.
All right, then.
I mean, I got a bingo when Brooke mentioned ranch. Ranch was my last thing that I needed for a bingo, but I understand that I'm disqualified.
Yeah, co-hosts are not eligible.
I know, not just it's an exhibition bingo. No.
All right, on that note, bingo, bye, yo. Bingo, bye, go, bye.
Thanks.
Bye, Brooke.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
All right, Noah, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Noah, bingo?
First off.
Yeah, I think so. I'm starting to question myself. I got viscosity, teriyaki. I counted Lori's Taco Time because we talked about Arizona Taco Time Club. I don't know. Maybe that's a little shocking.
No, that definitely counts.
The other Taco Time we definitely talked about. And now I thought I got small sample size, but now I'm questioning myself.
I don't know if small sample size did come up.
Yeah, I don't think so.
That might be a bad thing, though. Can we talk about the background photo, though?
Yes, somebody mentioned a pornographic background.
I don't know if that's what she meant.
That this was the one that she was talking about.
But she said they turned it off, so it must not have been.
There was titties on it.
Yeah, somebody had women's breasts on their like picture that was showing up.
And you have something much more horrifying behind you.
I have said that
a joint, Al?
No, that's a French fry from Kid Valley. and a cranium piece on my shoulder. I have said that this is my Fat Elvis photo.
I knew you'd like it.
Really good right now.
Okay, so we have a bad bingo. Can we go to Joe and see if that's a good bingo?
I am praying my bingo is good. So we have Running Backs Don't Matter. We have Lenny. We have Baby Yoda Russ. We have the Jamal Adams trade. And then finally, if this counts, we have heated argument. Although we didn't have an actual heated argument. We had someone say heated argument.
All out.
All right. Let's
well
do
done.
It.
Congrats.
There you go. Joe, you wanted a hat more than anybody here.
Oh, so excited. You have no idea.
I was expecting a heated argument to break out about the other taco time, but how can you hate Brooke? I mean, she just like...
So nice. I bit half my tongue off, I think.
This is the only person who would make us okay. Like if Brian Schmetzer would have been like, yeah, the other Taco Time International is way better. Kevin would have
locked him in. Murder Brian Schmetzer. Yeah.
No, I mean, come on. He's still a Sounders legend. I just would have immediately walked out of the interview.
You would have dropped the mic on Brian Schmetzer. Oh, God.
All right. Congrats, Joe, on the bingo. It's time to turn our attention. And thanks, by the way, to Chris and Randy so much for joining us for Talking Taco Time. Glad to do this live for the first time with the four-person panel. It's time to turn our attention back to the 2020 Seahawks. And here to help us preview the upcoming season, our freelance writer and frequent third Peloton brother, who's already on, Natalie Weiner, as well as the Seahawks beat writer for The Athletic Seattle, Michael Sean Dugar. We got you guys unmuted.
Yep.
How's it going?
It's good. You know, I'm happy to be here. Very honored to be alongside Mike Sean, who knows exponentially more than I do about this upcoming season.
But I'm realizing now that I have it's a Yeti, I guess. I got it as a wedding gift because I was in a wedding. I didn't get married. I just realized you're supposed to put the beer in the, you know, like this. I actually have the beer, actually the liquids in the thing.
You're supposed to put the whole can in?
I think so. Yeah. You know,
it's like a koozie. It's like a fancy koozie.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I didn't realize that until just now. I didn't get explained. I got this at a wedding I got kicked out of too. So it was very long story, but yeah, let's talk Seahawks.
Well, I would like to spotlight not as good of a story as getting kicked out of a wedding, but I have a Seahawks mug because it's 1 a.m. here. Yep. And so I'm drinking decaf Metcalf coffee.
Oh, there you go. There you,
you know,
go.
Just fully soaking in the Seahawks vibes.
I want to start a little bit by talking about the unusual nature of this 2020 season. Obviously, wildly different in the NFL. No preseason. Lots of protocols to try to keep players and coaches and everybody safe. Mike, I wanted to ask first, what's the experience of covering training camp been like for you compared to past years? And are you getting tested every day?
Yeah, I've been keeping track on my Instagram. I have to go look. I'm pretty sure I have 24 COVID tests in the month of August. No, 22 COVID tests in the month of August. I wear a tracking device every day at the facility. That beeps whenever I get within 6 feet of someone who's tier three. I'm tier two. That means we could be in the building. I have to get scanned my temperature every day. There's something else I got to do. Oh, they scan my face on the Clear app. So we got to download Clear and use that to get into the building every day. It's like getting in a fucking FBI building. It's a lot to get in there and watch training camp. So that's kind of weird. The big deal of training camp, anyone who's ever been to one, you get to be right up on the players and talk to them and you see them with their families. And there's just kind of none of that. If I get too close, I got too close to KJ Wright during camp once. We were just talking about something. And then one of the PR guys comes in. It's like, ah, get away. It was like a principal at a school dance. When they like a ruler. I don't know if you guys have that at school, but you know how to.
This is Fantasy Genius, Dad.
It was really awkward. Me and KJ was like, we're grown, get the fuck out. But we listen. But yeah, camp is really weird in that way. It's become to the point I know the names of the testing ladies who do my corona test. I'm first name, Vicky from station two. I think Nikki's in station one. Just randomly, that's how often I get tested. It's a lot to get into camp.
Natalie, from your perspective, Did someone mute me? Who muted me? Natalie, from your perspective, no training camp. What's it been like? Can you get hyped for the season in the same way without a former UW wide receiver to be excited about their preseason performance? In this case, presumably Aaron Fuller.
I mean, I think like less the lack of like training camp access in preseason and more just like the general chaos of the world has been distracting me from engaging fully in Seahawks hype. But yeah, I mean, it's just kind of a different vibe also to have so many other sports still going on, you know, like full throttle during the beginning of football season. It's kind of just like, it's hard to focus, but I'm sure like, you know, after this first game, somebody's gonna pop up. I'm gonna be like, that's the guy, you know. I don't want to say the next Kristen Michael because like, you know, some shoes are too big to really think of filling, but like, there's going to be some like wild card guy. I don't know. Mike, Sean, who do you think will be like the wild card favorite that will become beloved by Seahawks Twitter?
That's a good one. It would have been John Ursua, I would guess.
Right. Maybe. He already is though. That doesn't count. He,
I want to be someone who doesn't have much of a social media presence, but if he did have one, he'd be really awkward. Like Russell, but in like a less cheesy way. Man, that's a tough one. I think DJ Dallas would be a good one. He's got
that's
some
the one.
He's a fun cat. I like him a lot. He doesn't know how to lie to us yet, so that's really fun. Once you get to like year four or year three, like you learn how to lie to us on Zoom or whatever. DJ is like, oh yeah, I'll tell you whatever I'm feeling because that's what I'm supposed to do. I like you guys. We haven't burned him yet. We will. We haven't yet. But until we do, DJ Dallas might be the guy.
This reminds me once with a rookie Sonics player. I was like, man, this player is so nice and earnest. It's going to be a really depressing when they become old and get jaded. And the punchline to that story, it was Robert Swift.
Was it really Robert Swift?
It really was Robert Swift, and 100% was. It's a sad story.
He got old and jaded by like 23.
Well, yeah, we don't have time to get into it, unfortunately. What we're going to do now in a Pelton Cast tradition is to go through the Seahawks offseason in photos. So we're going to return to PowerPoint for that one.
I love when we go to PowerPoint.
Gotta love the PowerPoint. All right, first off, February 24th, they signed Greg Olsen.
Yeah, I really forgot this happened. I mean, it feels like 7,000 years ago, but yeah, an old guy.
A pre-pandemic signing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which there's the before times and the after times. Those are separated by many, many, you know, years seemingly. Mike, how's he looked in training camp?
He looks all right. I mean, it sucks. It's weird. Pete Carroll called Greg old, which is weird because Greg's like, how old is Greg? Like 34, 35 maybe? And Pete's like 100. So when he called him like old, but he was like, he's old, but he can still move well. And I was like, are you talking about yourself? Or are you talking about Greg?
Okay, I have a really important note, just sidebar, that while I was preparing for this podcast, I found an important piece of information, which is that Pete Carroll turned 69 on Tuesday. So
nice,
just want to share that podcast.
Okay, next up.
Person to prepare for this podcast.
Well, I felt like I had to.
Look, the separation is in the preparation.
This PowerPoint didn't make itself. All right, next up, March 16th, the Seahawks re-sign Jaron Reed.
Man, I was pissed about that. Man, I was trying to break that. Sorry, I don't know if we're supposed to comment every picture. But I was supposed to break this story, and I was I wasn't thinking about it too much. I went to the place where he was training at. Not knowing he was training, I went to go meet another player to talk about the CBA. And Jay Reed was there. I was like, oh, it was March – It's March 14th, so this must be when it became
official. The official date, yeah.
Yeah, so it was March 14th. I was there, and I said, hey, Jay Reed, what's up, man? You coming back? He was like, oh, I'm trying to. He's like, what they offer you? I said, man, I can't tell you that. It's like, I mean, I already know what they offered you, but I'd like you to tell me, because I'm standing here. I didn't expect to see you. He's like, oh, man, it's just, I don't know. I won't talk about it. I don't have a relationship with Jay Reed, but I figure, I mean, dog, I'm standing in front of you. And then, like, as soon as I get home, working on the story about the CBA, boom, his contract breaks. I'm like, well, fuck, dog, I was right here. I think it was Garofalo from NFL Network who broke it. I don't remember, but I was really pissed. Like, I could have had that. And he just didn't want to give it to me, although I knew the numbers already. I just wanted to see if he'd confirm them to me, because I know, yeah, I was going to break it. It's dumb. It doesn't really matter, because once it hits, everyone already knows it. But, you know, for a journalist, I want to be first.
Yeah, and also, like, who cares what Garofalo does? It's more exciting if you do it.
Like, yeah, that sucked.
All right, well, next so up. We hate Jaron Reed is, like, what we're
doing. Yeah, I actually really like Jay Reed, fun guy. He's an Omega. I'm a big fan of Omega's, Omega Psi Phi fraternity. He's the only player who has me blocked on Twitter. And I don't know.
Wait, so more reasons that he said,
it's weird. I've never asked him about it. I need to. I always forget when I see him. But yeah, he's the only player that has me blocked.
This reminds me of, I think, the first time I ever met Zach Whitman at the Bill Barnwell.
He had you blocked on Twitter?
No. Look, I was searching my email because I didn't know if I had Zach's email to include him in the rundown, the show notes. And there was an email that Ben Golliver had forwarded me of Zach transcribing a D'Antonio Wingcast in like 2009. So Zach and I actually go way back, even though we didn't know it. About all the Seahawks players who had him blocked on Twitter was the conversation. Which is a lot. We'll get into that later, maybe. Next up, 2 days later, the Seahawks bring back Bruce Irvin because there is nothing the Seahawks love more than signing players who used to play here.
Look, it's called loyalty or something, maybe. I don't know. But I don't know. I love it because it's just like, why not? Honestly, that's my big question. What's the downside?
The players have
really
to play somewhere else first.
Right.
That's the thing. They don't like bringing back players that were on the team, say, last year.
No, we'll get into that.
But they have to go somewhere else and then come back.
Bruce has got one of those agents who doesn't hit me back. My messages with him are just blue. It's just me blowing up. I just look really thirsty.
Okay, but there's a saying about that. It's like, if you love someone, let them go. You know, if they come back, it's real. If they don't, like, they were never yours to begin with or something. So maybe Pete Carroll just really subscribes to that. I don't know.
March 24th, the Seahawks trade for Quentin Dunbar. A move that we're going to see how it works out as his case continues, I guess, to unfold even after the decision not to pursue charges.
If you guys are bored ever and you want to fall down a rabbit hole, Google his first lawyer for that case.
Oh, yeah. Michael, that guy sounded like a piece of work.
Jesus Christ.
That say the name again since I spoke over you.
Michael Greco? Greco?
Yeah.
Is the name? Oh,
I think it's like IECO.
Yeah, I spelled it wrong in one of my stories on accident, actually. But yeah, Google that dude if you're like bored and want to fall down like a rabbit hole. Just Google his name in like Miami Herald, and you'll be on the internet for like 4 hours reading just corrupt government shit in South Florida.
Wow.
Oh, Florida man delivering again. April 23rd, the Seahawks do not trade down in the NFL draft and draft Texas Tech linebacker Jordan Brooks. How's he looked in camp?
Oh, really fast. I really felt like I felt bad for him almost because I don't trust the Seahawks front office. So when they took a player and was like, he's not going to be good. Not even because I know anything about him. I learned who he was the day of the draft. But I was just like, I don't trust you guys to be the smartest people in the room. You took an off-ball linebacker at 27. Nah, that's not going to work. It sucks because it has nothing to do with Jordan personally. That's probably why his agent doesn't have me back either. Probably saw some of those tweets. He will be good, though. I just don't think that that's a position you take in the first round. I personally only think after the first, like, seven picks, you really should only pick, like, a quarterback, a receiver, a defensive end, a corner, or a left tackle. If you can't get any of those from picks 9 to 32, trade back. That's kind of just my philosophy. So anything they would have done there would have not yielded enough value for me to be happy about their pick. Nothing to do with Jordan. I don't know what he's going to be good. Looks fine. He has great thighs. But other than that, I don't really know much about him.
This guy's got thighs out.
Yeah, excellent thighs. All right, you should have come on our post-draft podcast with Zach, who we'll hear from shortly, and been incredibly negative about everything the Seahawks did and be told that we were too negative about everything in this draft.
All right, next up in the Seahawks offseason, we move ahead 2 months.
Wow.
They surprise us all by trading for Jamal Adams.
Yeah.
I almost lost my computer this day. So for this wedding that I got the cup, we had a bachelor party at Crescent Bar. It's in like the middle of the state, like central Washington-ish. We're on a boat and I'm typing my story for this, and then a wave hits the boat, splashes my computer.
What?
So I was like writing my lead for this, because it broke while like on a Saturday. I'm on the boat, and then I'm looking at the boat driver like, dog, you didn't see the fucking wave? You see me on my computer. I'm almost about to fight the boat driver guy. I'm really upset. I've been drinking all day. And then eventually we get my computer to come back on, but there was like a 30-minute window there where I was super pissed, wasn't able to do the story, and I was drunk as hell on a boat. Eventually got it all fixed and everything, but yeah, like I said, I almost lost my computer that day and almost fought some random boat driver in the middle of the state.
Okay, Mike, now is the time to tell us the rest of the story about getting kicked out of the wedding.
Okay, the short version.
If you know the date, then I can throw that in here in a slide, maybe.
The date of the wedding? I definitely know the date of the wedding, August 22nd. Okay, short version. I'm one of the groomsmen. I'm 4 of 6. I show up at the rehearsal dinner. There's a sign.
Are there rankings?
This is important. I'm one of the 4 of the 6. Like, there's 6 of us, but 4 of us are really tight. This is going to be important later. There's a sign outside the wedding. It says 3 bullet points. No lie. It says no COVID, no politics. Masks are optional. 3 bullet point. I show up to the rehearsal dinner the day before. The bride's dad is a cop. He has a Blue Lives Matter hat on.
Oh,
it's a Polynesian guy. And I'm one of the only people wearing masks at the rehearsal dinner. I have a mask is right here, actually. It says, if you guys can see that, it says legalize blackness. I'm also the only black person at the wedding. No, one of the other groomsmen is. So 2 black people, sandy people there. Next day at the wedding, one of the groomsmen, he looks at a guy's socks in the line for food at the reception. He says, hey man, your socks suck. The socks say Trump 2020.
What?
Right, no politics. Harmless joke. Yeah. Turns out that's the guy whose house this is. So he flips out on the dude. He's like, dude, look, don't talk to me like that. Fuck you, blah, blah, blah. Wiles out. Goes and tells the bride's dad. Remember, this guy's a cop. Tells the dad, he's like, hey, he's making fun of my socks. Also, he's saying cops don't matter, defund the police, bunch of other shit. My friend didn't say. So we got a cop who's pissed. His daughter's crying on her wedding day. These are Polynesian guys, too. These are big dudes. So they come storming in, basically say, hey, you guys got to get the fuck out. And I'm like, what's going on? I get into argument with the dad. The dad gives me some speech about, hey, we don't want to do politics. And in my head, I'm like, he had a Blue Lives Matter hat on at the press dinner. Don't make sense. Anyway, my homie says, Mike, let's just go. So we got kicked out of the wedding for being anti-Trump, essentially, by some Samoan cops from Auburn. Finn. And I got a Yeti.
You won that story.
Yeah. You are 100% on the side of righteousness. I don't even know why you were skeptical about telling that story. It's like,
I mean, I just wanted to shorten it. That's the shortest version of it. But yeah, that wedding sucked. I can't believe it. So 4 of the groomsmen got kicked out of the wedding. There was only 6. So we got booted before the best man speech. Like that was pretty bad. They've erased us from all the pictures and everything. Like it's awful. I haven't heard from the groom. That was like 4 weeks ago or something.
What?
Haven't heard from him since.
You got a Yeti. You were on a boat in the middle of summer, which seems great. Your computer didn't get destroyed, and you stood up for what's right. Plus, this is the best Seahawks offseason in review that we have ever done.
The thing is, I didn't even do anything. My friend is who mentioned the socks. Like, I told myself in my head, okay, don't worry about the bride's dad. You're just a guest. Don't say anything. Wear your mask. Get out of here. The other thing, side note, the guy who flipped out on my friend about his socks was like, yeah, you know, you guys be wearing masks is so dumb. I was like, okay, that's a pointed comment. There's like 2 people at this wedding of 75 wearing masks. I was one, and my friend was the other, who was also a groomsman. So basically, we just look like fuck. We just got kicked out for being just at the wrong wedding, essentially. But yeah, I don't really care.
I can't believe a guy would tell you that you look dumb and he's wearing Trump socks. there's levels here.
I told my homie who was in the line that said the thing. I was like, Doug, you know how much you gotta love something to put it on your side? Like, that's a real commitment. Something like, I'm covered in tattoos personally, and I don't love anything enough to put it on my socks. He really loved that thing to put it on his socks with a sign that says no politics. It was, yeah, it was a terrible, terrible life.
Stuff on your socks.
Turned out all right. I'm just not in any of them. also, I had to rent a suit for like $200 for like a day. Yeah, we didn't buy the suit, so you rented them. So that was a little bit of a loss.
Stuff on your socks is reserved for the zombie Gary Payton and Sean Kemp socks and In-N-Out. Those are the two things worth putting on socks, like caring enough about. All right, Jamal Adams.
That's funny.
Yeah, hopefully the Jamal Adams trade works out better than that wedding.
Everything is better than that wedding, man. That was terrible.
Yeah, I think, like, I don't know. I feel like, do I have some kinship with Jamal Adams? Kind of, because he came from the Jets, you know? Like, maybe.
All right, we wrap up our offseason recap on September 6th. The Jadeveon Clowney watch ends with him signing with the Titans. You have any good stories about this one, Mike?
I don't have one about this one, unfortunately. Other than that, his agent as well, I looked very thirsty texting him. Let me see if I still have that thread. Yeah, no, not a ton. I sent him a picture of something. Hold on. Make sure I know what that is before I show that. I won't load. No, I'm just glad this one was over, to be honest. I got some really good insight about him at the combine and was basically told that if he was going to get a big deal, it was going to be from a bad team, like one of the New York teams or like Cleveland. And if he wanted a good be on a good team, it would be something that looked like this. I could have told him this. Well, he should have just gave me the 3%, to be honest. I could have told him this in fucking February.
Yeah, that reporting was very accurate in hindsight, as frustrating as it was at the time.
The whole time was very, very accurate. Like that, as I know, like the people who have this stuff, like Pelissero, Garofalo, even Diana Rossini, like obviously Rapp and Schefter, like they have some good stuff. But I know for a fact that all of that was sound. What was going to get him $20 million after 3 sacks? This is not how that works around here. No wonder he fired his agent. The agent was terrible.
Okay, next up, we're going to go over under on some statistics for the 2020 season. We're going to start with Russell Wilson pass attempts, over or under last season's total of 516. Mike, what do you think?
16 pass attempts. I will go under. I think they're going to be ahead more often now. The defense isn't as bad.
Natalie?
Okay, well, I'm going to go under too, but not for a smart reason. I mean, like, we already played the audio, you know, of the Pete being anti-letting Russ cook thing. And I think it's like, there's some part of him, I think, that is like going to react to that being a trend and just be like, no, we're running like all the time now. Because, like, I don't think he's the kind of guy who, like, doesn't want to be told what to do. So
like, all of us, then?
Well, no, but, like, even more so, like, you know, he's not willing to look at constructive criticism. He's like, no, it's not going to be a thing.
Over? You're going over?
Over. Way over. Come on. They're going to let Russ cook the smallest amount this year.
I'm with Mike on this one. I'm going under. All right. On the related topic of how much they're letting Russ cook, Chris Carson carries over and or under 250. He had 278 last season and 247 the year before. Let's start this time with Natalie.
I'll do over.
What is it? It's 250?
Yep.
I'm going to take the under on that too. I think their backfield's more a little bit better too, a little deeper. They'll have Penny back. Hyde's really good. Yeah, I'll take the under on that too.
Under.
I'm also under on this one. I think Mike and I are on the same page. Again, DK Metcalf touchdowns, 7.5. Is he going to improve on last season's 7 as a rookie? Let's start with Tristan.
I'm going under for touchdowns. I think he'll be a better receiver overall, but touchdowns are so random that he'll be at 7.
Natalie.
Yeah, I think under 2. I mean, it's just like, I don't know. I don't know anything, but I always tell everyone, like, don't take Seahawks in fantasy because they're just like, so like, no Seahawks skill position person is like reliable. So for points, for touchdowns.
Mike.
The year I won one of my fantasy leagues, I had Jermaine Kearse, who won me like $900. So
wow. That just goes to show me. I don't know.
Well, it was like really random. They got smoked by the Rams, but he caught a garbage time touchdown in like 2016 or something like that. So I ended up winning that week.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it was great. That's a $150 buy-in that league. let's see. I'll take the over on that, actually. I think he'll be the, like, their number one receiver. I think he's the most talented receiver on the league, on the team. Like, Tyler's great. He's really efficient. But, I mean, DK had 7 drops last year. Like, if he cuts that in half, he has 1,000 yards and 8 touchdowns. Like, as a rookie. Like, that's pretty. And he fumbled twice. Once on the goal line.
Right there.
Yeah, like, right there in the Niners game. Like, right at the goal line.
Oh.
Like, it's another touchdown right there. He can't, like, really be guarded, I don't think. Except by, like, Patrick Peterson, which is weird. So, yeah, I'll take the over on that.
Josh Gordon games played over under 10.5, Mike.
Way under. I just can't. I think Josh is a cool cat. I don't know him that well, but the people that I do that know him, rock with him. He's if he gets reinstated, he'll be reinstated for like the 7th time or something like that. That's more than a repeat of funding, man. That's a lot. I'll take the under.
I know that sounds ridiculous, but he played 11 games last season and 12 the season before. So that's why I went the over under there, Zach and Raj. Natalie, you're taking this one.
Wait, what was the number that you gave again?
10.5. You can just say it. No?
Oh, okay. Zach. Yeah, I think under. I mean, it's funny because I had some random person who I know from like music writing ask me this exact same question. Like, what? Like, I don't know. He was asking for like fantasy purposes, I guess. I don't know. But yeah.
The Jazz Cats are in on Josh Gordon.
Hey, I don't know. Apparently.
They're wanting to know. This is an under also.
Will Disley games played over under 6.5. Let's start with Tristan.
Over.
Natalie?
Looking healthy, looking great. Thrill Disley is back, baby.
Thrill Disley.
Well, I mean, unless Luke Wilson, takes his spot back. I'm just kidding. Over, I think.
Mike?
Man, Thrill Disley is throwing me off here.
Yeah, I hadn't heard that one before either.
Yeah, I've never – wow, that's really good. There was a dude I grown up with in the hood. His name was Will the Thrill. Bad little dude. I don't know what he's doing. He's probably in jail, but I think that name, because his name is Will as well. It's like Will the Thrill, Thrill Disley. That's funny. I'll take the over though. I have nothing for this. I'm just keeping my fingers crossed. Watching Will, I was at both games when Will got hurt. And so like seeing him carted off or carried off both times, man, I don't want to see that in 3rd year. I hope he plays 100 games this year. What's the max 19, 20 that he can play? I hope he plays all of them.
By the way, when are you heading to Atlanta?
So I'm doing a red eye actually tomorrow night.
Saturday, okay.
I land the morning of the game because they wanted us to try to keep it as like inexpensive as possible, which is dumb because they waited like till 2 weeks before the game for us to book it. Flying across the country, you can't really make that cheap, right? But yeah, I'm leaving Saturday night.
Has anyone talked you into Magic City yet?
I made the mistake of announcing somewhere on Thursday. Oh, we did an NFL podcast, panel. Right? No, NFL panel on Twitter. Oh, okay. It was live, and I said I'm not going, and everyone was like, "Dude, what?" Like, once an agent texted me, and was like, "If you're going to go to Magic City, why are you going to Atlanta at all?" And I'm just like, "Wow, you guys are peer pressuring the hell out of me." Like, I feel like I have to go now. I don't know. I haven't decided yet. It's. I don't know. I'm gonna try to get a hold of Lou Will and ask him if it's worth it. He doesn't follow me, but I'm pretty sure I could get to him if I needed to and ask him if it's worth it. Ask someone. There's like 6 Seahawks from Atlanta, so I'll ask them. Nico Thorpe's from Atlanta. Yeah. Chris Carson. Jay Reed's family is in Atlanta. DJ Dallas from Atlanta. I'm missing a big one there. Who's from Atlanta. But yeah, I'll ask.
I mean, we hung out in Atlanta like
yes
years ago.
Super Bowl, right?
TBT.
No social distancing going on.
No.
Zero.
Yeah, it was fun.
Right, Seahawks players with at least 5 sacks this season, over under 1.5 after they had 0 last season. Let's start with Mike.
Nobody wanted to answer.
It's 5.5?
5 sacks, over under 1.5.
I'll take one on that. Or I'll take the over.
Over would be 2.
Oh, over. Okay, under then. Over then. Hot take, maybe. I think Jamal will be the guy that has the one. Or that has more than 5.
That's definitely a hot take.
Yeah, I'll go with that.
He had 6.5 last year, but probably some regression. Tristan?
I'll go over. What the hell?
Natalie?
I'm going to go under. Be conservative.
Go over here. Going to go with an over here. Okay, next up here, Quentin Dunbar games, over under 11.5. Let's start with Mike again on this one.
I'll take the over on that. I've talked to a lot of legal experts about this one. He should be fine, which is weird because 4 dudes are just like, hey, man, you robbed me. And he's like, no, I didn't. Like that's honestly, it does a lot of stuff that's happened. That is really the core of it. 4 dudes said, you robbed me. Quentin's like, no, I didn't. And he's free. Like that's it. Meanwhile, DeAndre Baker's like, you robbed me. He's like, no, I didn't. And they're like, well, you had a gun. He's like, ah, shit, I did, huh? So now he's probably going to go to jail. But yeah, I'll take the over on that. I think Quentin will start on Sunday too, actually.
Natalie?
I'll do over too.
Tristan?
Over. Mrs. Okay. Fantasy Genius just asked if she can mail Eric Manley something. So something's coming for you in the mail, Eric Manley.
There you go.
You're doing good. Doing good on the video. Drinking a Rainier Tallboy.
Okay. Let's go to Seahawks wins. Their line, as we talked about on yesterday's podcast, is 9 wins. Over, under 9 wins. Justin, we already got an over from you. Let's start with Natalie.
I want to say over too. Yeah. I mean, it just feels like enough of the pieces are in place. I don't know. I was reading Mike Sean's preview, you know, I found it pretty convincing. It's like they're obviously going to drop at least a game to each of the other NFC West people because we just know how that works, right? And then some weird game to like the Dolphins probably. And I don't know what else, you know? So, but yeah, I don't know. Russell is Russell, so I have faith.
Mike, over under 9 wins?
Yeah, I was just checking what I predicted. What did I go with?
You predicted 12-4.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah,
I like that. I think they got really lucky with the divisions they play that aren't theirs. They play the AFC East, which is shit, and then they play the other shit one.
NFC South, right?
No. It's the NFC East.
Right.
They play the NFC East, yeah. Which just got a bunch of just unreliable quarterbacks in it, other than Dak. So you should get
– Oh, the Carson Wentz slander.
They should go like 4-2 in the division, I think. And then they should probably beat – they should sweep the AFC East, I think, and probably – they might lose that Dallas game. But that's what, like 7-1 outside their division alone? I think that's pretty good. That's kind of where I'm thinking. And I think their pass defense is probably going to be the best in the NFC. Them and the Rams in New Orleans also have the best 3 pass defenses, I think.
You think they're going to go 4-2 in the division? Which team are they going to beat twice?
Probably Arizona.
They always lose the game to the Cardinals.
Arizona, I think. Yeah, they do.
Yeah, it's home. Weird.
San Francisco. Cardinals at home is a loss. There's last, no chance.
Last year, the Cardinals game was weird because they were like starting Lano Hill, didn't have Clowney, didn't have Quandre. There was some, and Buda Baker was just like a missile. Buda Baker broke CJ Process's arm and Chris Carson's hip in the first half alone. That's insane. Like that's hard.
Okay, now do the previous 8 Cardinals games at home.
all the Bruce Arians.
They beat the Cardinals in 2018, didn't they? Yeah, they beat Rosen. They beat Rosen in week 17, 2018, at home.
Barely.
Yeah, they did. They gave up 6-7.
Barely.
That's because George Fant was starting at a right tackle, and I think Effetti was playing right guard, and they just got wrecked the whole game.
The dream team, Fant and Effetti.
Yeah, that was
– your heroes.
That was not – I like both of those. Jermaine Effetti was one of my favorite Seahawks too, but him and George on the right side that week was just god-awful. Like, they even they would have to admit that. They gave up, like, 6 sacks. Somebody should look that up. But I'm pretty sure they gave up 6 sacks to week 17 of 2018. Like, it was really bad.
Okay, our last over-under. Over-under 1/2 playoff win for the Seahawks. Let's start with Tristan.
Fuck it. We're going over.
There you go.
Let's go.
There it is. Natalie?
Over. I was at the Philly game this year. I endured all that slander. I did not endure it for nothing.
Mike?
Making it clear why I love George Fan. Big moment. I had a really big argument with someone. It was me and Gino and George versus someone who was a really big Eminem fan, and I just cannot stand Eminem. So it was – I had to ride for my guy Wayne. This is before –
From earlier, it sounds like maybe Lockett.
No, he is a rapper and a poet, but I can't really – argue music with him. The music guys in the locker room that I can argue with are Gino, well, not anymore, but Gino, George, Dwayne Brown, who's a big Nas guy, which says a lot about Dwayne.
That he's old.
Yeah. Like, you're a Nas fan from Virginia? Like, what? What the fuck is wrong with you? Justin Britt, who has the best musical taste on the roster, probably. And Jay Reed. All have good taste in music. But yeah, George is my guy. Fuck, I didn't forgot what the – oh, playoff wins. I'll take the over on that.
Yeah, let's go ahead and make it a clean sweep on the over.
Over under times that Justin Britt was called the best music fan on the Seahawks roster anywhere on earth.
It's one of those weird things because no one is in the locker room, but if you do, you'll see him in there with his big-ass boombox playing the hottest new shit. All the time until Luke Wilson comes and cranks up some house music and then everyone tells him to shut the fuck up. I'm a big movie guy. If you guys have all seen the movie Life, Eddie Murphy, Martin Lawrence, ton of superstars in it. There's a scene where they're all imagining Ray's boom boom room and Martin Lawrence's character is trying to sleep in their bunks. And he leans over and is like, hey, pipe down. In which I hear that bullshit. That's basically everyone when Luke plays techno. There was a defensive player came over and was like, Luke, turn this shit off. And he did it right away. I won't say which player, but he made it very known, like, I'm the captain. Turn this fucking shit off.
Okay, so we know it's the Seahawks defensive captain.
Well, no, not a captain. Like, one of those, you know the movie? What movie is that? Where he's like, the African dude is like.
Oh, I'm the captain now?
Captain yeah. Phillips? Captain
it's one of those looks where it was just, kind of walked over like.
Oh my god. Okay, what's the best Lil Wayne mixtape? Like,
oh fuck. Drought 3.
There we go.
Yeah, I would go with Drought 3. I'm 28 years old, so like Drought 3 is like right when I was able to like master the use of profanity. Like age like maybe like 12, 13, and once you master profanity, hip hop takes a whole new turn.
Hey, and once CBS Fantasy Genius has done that at a much younger age.
When you're into
my children have done it.
Oh man, it's crazy. Yeah, drop all the dedications are good too. Dedication 2 is really good. Yeah, Dedication 2. I think that's got a lot of Jay Mills on it. I really like Jay Mills. It's his birthday today too, actually. I'm pretty sure it's Jay Mills' birthday. Jay, I don't know if anyone's in New York. Natalie in New York? I think Jay Mills
is Jay Mills' birthday.
Yeah, Dedication 2 and then Drought 3. Those are my two favorites. I'm a big Wayne guy. A ride for Wayne.
And also shouts to Justin Britt.
Man, Justin Britt's into like all the new trap rap. If there's new Young Thug that's out, there's new Rod Wave, NBA Youngboy, like Justin Britt's on all of it, man. Random white guy from like Missouri, I think he's from. Just listens to everything.
You're recording this, right, Kevin?
I am. That's awesome. This was awesome. This was
Wilson. Okay, there are some questions for Mike in the chat. If you have questions, we might have missed them along the way. Mike, we have to ask you a few questions from the chat because this is incredible.
It's fine. I got no.
But like, let's get two or three questions in the chat.
Yeah, Luke Wilson definitely has the. Oh, it's just I went to Washington State. I don't know if people know that. So I lived.
Yeah, in it's a kook heavy episode. I gotta say.
So I don't necessarily enjoy the like boom to boom to boom. I just never really. Because it wasn't that they played that. What they did in Pullman was they would take a song that has feeling and emotion, like it's like a fun song. I don't know. Give me a song that was hot, like Trap Queen, right? Take a song like Trap Queen, 2016, biggest song in the world. They'll take that and then like house music the shit. So you hear like, you hear the sounds of Trap Queen come on, and you're like, hey, what's up, Bill? And the next thing you know, it's boom, boom, boom. I don't hear that shit. So when Luke's doing that house music stuff, I'm like, Luke, turn that the fuck off. So yeah, he has the worst taste.
Okay, who has bad taste on the Seahawks that you wouldn't expect to?
That I wouldn't expect to. I don't know if
I'm from Russell Wilson.
I don't know if Russ has bad taste. I think he would go with whatever most popular. There was a day in the locker room in 2017 where I was learning the landscape and the D-line was playing a bunch of trap. The O-line was playing a bunch of country, and the receivers were playing a bunch. Receivers and DBs were, like, playing whatever was the top 40 at the time.
And Justin Britt was on the D-line back then.
I forget who was controlling it back then. But it was very, like, segregated, as you would imagine, actually. Locker rooms are very segregated. And here comes Russ out of the shower by himself, like, blasting, like, Aretha Franklin or something. Just, like, he was alone. I was like, wow, man, this is sad.
No.
Speaker out of the shower. It was some sad gospel something. Maybe it wasn't Aretha, but it was some type of gospel. And it didn't fit the mood at all. He was also naked, so I didn't want to stare at him. Bad taste, I guess.
Like, the one time I talked to him, I, like, asked him about music just as, like, a throwaway question. And he just mentioned Teddy Pendergrass. I was like, okay, that's legit. Like, that was the only name he brought up. I was like, that's hardcore, but I respect it.
I'm also married Sierra, so I mean, like, his taste
is, yeah,
like, you know, he's doing, yeah, all right.
Yeah. I, like, you made me think of this moment. I was in the Giants locker room, like, during a practice day or something, and this random wide receiver, it was, like, late, so almost everyone was gone, and this wide receiver walked out of the showers, and he, like, had brought his boombox with him to the showers, and he was just blasting Greatest Love of All by Whitney Houston, like, to the entire locker room, just, like, by himself, walking back to his locker. He was, like, fully in the zone. I really respected it.
Okay, two final questions, one for each of you. Natalie, what is your latest WNBA thrifting find?
I think I've been trying to cut myself off because, as you may know, I lost my job. So I've been trying to cut down on the eBay purchases. I think the last thing I bought was this actually really cool WNBA hat, but unfortunately it doesn't fit my head very well. So I need to find a person to, like, bestow it on, but it's just, like, white and it's got red and blue letters that say WNBA and just, like, a black logo. It's, like, very simple, but cool.
All right, and Mike, last question for this segment. If you could have played one song at the Trump sock wedding, what would it have been?
Oh, that's a tough one. Random MWBA thing real quick, though. I was just on the phone with Asia Wilson's agent, telling her how hard it was. They also rep Puna, I think. That's what we're talking about. I couldn't get a jersey when I was in Vegas. I wanted an Aces jersey. I didn't know that you could only buy them at the games. I didn't know you couldn't just go to a store because of some licensing thing or something. That was very frustrating. Because 22 is, like, one of my favorite numbers. That was my number when I hooped. Anyway, let's see. That's tough. It's a tie between Fuck Donald Trump and March Madness. I'll probably go March Madness. It's the greatest rap song ever. Let's go with that. I would have played March Madness as they kicked us out. Those big-ass Samoan MAGA-loving cops from Auburn, Washington, kicking us out of this wedding in Eden Club.
With their Trump socks.
Christ. Yeah, with Trump socks, Blue Lives Matter hats, and fuck, they're having a in May 1st, 2021, they're having like an actual reception with like 300 people. I don't think I'm invited though.
Fuck nothing. Fuck them and FDT too.
Yeah.
Thank you all so much for joining us, Mike and Natalie. This was awesome. As we recap the Seahawks offseason and your summer and the weddings that you attended or got kicked out of, this was excellent. We can't wait to have you back both on soon.
Cool. Appreciate you.
Thanks, guys.
Okay, before we get to our final guest, we have a little more, a special presentation to get to, which again will require me to share my screen. All right.
Make sure to share the fucking audio if you have audio.
Oh no.
There's no audio this time. A brief history. Wedding. Russ.
Oh no, they unmuted Zach.
Oh no.
Yeah, let's go. So for a long time on the internet, Twitter, Let Russ Cook was only about one person, and that person was not Russell Wilson. That person was Russell Westbrook, which is not a good as good of an idea to let Russell Westbrook cook. This actually, by the way, is one of my editors at ESPN who tweeted this. This is the very first tweet I found that said let Russ cook in regards to Russell Wilson. This was during the Atlanta playoff loss in 2013.
Yeah. Shouts to at @piano_J.
Yeah.
Wherever you are.
Really.
The underscore is doing a lot of work there.
We tried to get him there. Look who had an early Let Russ Cook reference. Go. Infrared, it's up.
I was pleading at this point.
Yo, you knew what time it was.
I knew. I knew when I needed it. And I needed all caps too, so it made you believe it.
Seahawks Twitter really started to get radicalized with the loss to the Cowboys after the 2018 season. I loved this reply to Pete Carroll. Shouts to @HurtKevlar. But like, in general, I'm not a big believer in the great man theory of history. I think that most of what happens is a product of being at the right place at the right time. But sometime an individual so singular comes along and changes the course of history with their tweets. And that person is, of course, Zach Whitman. The last week of September 2019, three Let Russ Cook tweets. And then it was on, the floodgates were open, and now here's where we are. We've got two Let Russ Cook t-shirts, neither of which Jack has been given a free one, only Ben Bear.
Yeah, and then okay, just go, this is good.
Then we reach the culmination, which is when Let Russ Cook is blamed for pushing a wedge between Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll. Zach, how does it feel to be responsible for this?
You know, it feels, I mean, first of all, I wanted my posting to matter for a very long time, and I've been trying for it to matter for a very long time, and it feels like the culmination of a long time of posting. I was listening to D'Antonio Wingcast in 2009. That wasn't the start. I've been posting for years, and for finally my posting, just pounding that rock, hammering that rock over and over again in my own life, and finally I make the difference, right? So it's a point of achievement. I mean, like, was Toshi the first person to cook teriyaki? No. But did he make Seattle style teriyaki? Yes. That's, I see myself as a Toshi-like figure.
To have both of you, DJ Infrared and you, Zach, here in one Zoom call at the same time, it's like we've got everybody who has ever wanted to let Russ cook all at the same time.
And neither of them wanted to talk. Here's how I felt with Zach saying that speech. It was the equivalent of this classic drill tweet. That's basically Zach.
Yes. Well, at all times, yes.
I will never log off.
Yes.
I will never log off.
Okay, but...
Well, there are many questions being asked about my Let Russ Cook shirt that are being answered by the shirt itself.
The reason Zach is here, of course, is in his capacity is the decider. He helps us decide our searches for Seattle's best food. And the time has come for us to conclude a search that has been ongoing since January for Seattle's best teriyaki. We have a bit more PowerPoint, sadly.
God.
I know everyone loves it, hates it so much.
As long as there's not audio, the PowerPoints are fine.
Yeah, the audio just did not go super good.
The scrolling is really, really nice. Oh, yeah, we're going to want to go back to that one. Okay, here we go.
So our search began January 22nd. It has featured 18 teriyaki restaurants. It went through a pandemic. And one of the more important things we learn is that, well, teriyaki is great. This search is terrible. There's a reason I resisted it for so long, despite everyone who's moved out of Seattle telling us we had to do a search for Seattle's best teriyaki. And that's because all teriyaki is good. You want to elaborate, Tristan?
There's nothing that can be added on top of your teriyaki is great, but the search is terrible. I'm being handed a note here. What is going on? that's the point here, is that Seattle-style teriyaki, the replacement level of Seattle-style teriyaki, is so extraordinarily high that there almost cannot be a Seattle's best teriyaki, which is why this whole search is a farce.
Oh, but wow. Randy agrees.
I got a note that just says gyoza.
Wait, what? I mean, so I can't argue with gyoza.
I have gotten a bulletin from the producers of this podcast that literally just says gyoza.
I mean, Seattle's best gyoza.
If I get another one that says viscosity, we'll know we're in for something.
Oh, we're going to get to viscosity,
was
friend.
I was keyed into my car last night.
We're going to get to viscosity. So here were the two finalists we reached. Toshi's Teriyaki Grill.
Hey, Kevin, have you considered updating the header on your PowerPoint, though? What's going on there?
Look, we're not wearing our nautical attire here. We're wearing our at-home attire, which, yeah. Like, I'm not going to show my shorts just yet. this is a home attire. We're not at Belltown Yacht Club. But the real question of Seattle's best teriyaki was not really about even finding out what Seattle's best teriyaki was. Because to me, Seattle's best teriyaki is in every individual Seattleite's heart. It was, is there a Seattle teriyaki that is really worth traveling for? Is there a Seattle teriyaki that is greater than your neighborhood teriyaki? Is there something that is so special out of Seattle teriyaki that it is greater than this super high level of replacement teriyaki? And I'm extremely curious if we have answered that question here tonight.
I mean, I drove.
That's a lot of words to kind of invalidate your own takes here. I mean, I'm just, do you want to like have some boldness here and have a take about the best teriyaki, Tristan?
Do you want to know what I do, Zach? Is every year with Seattle's best is I make a proclamation and then I just decide to go against that proclamation shortly thereafter. The only time that I ever cared was when you all incorrectly told me what Seattle's best sandwich was last year, and I'm still not over it.
I'm still not over how delicious the Mona fried chicken sandwich is. Well, I would say the answer is yes, because I drove an hour, 20 minutes round trip yesterday to get teriyaki, and I was excited about it because I was going to Toshi's Teriyaki Grill, which was one of our two finalists in Mill Creek. Toshi Kasahara, the originator of Seattle-style teriyaki, who built multiple chains, but now is purveying his teriyaki strictly in Mill Creek. A long drive for us, not as long a drive for Zach. And the other finalist in Capitol Hill, Yoshino Teriyaki, serving a less traditional, I would say, spicy teriyaki that is designed for a quick lunch. But before we get to comparing the merits of these, we need to talk a little bit about the sauce dimensions of teriyaki. Because that's right, it's time to discuss teriyaki sauce sweetness versus viscosity. As you can see here, the semifinalists, we had five along with Toshi's, break down into three separate categories. We have the viscous sweet nexus up here. You really got to highlight that one, the viscous sweet nexus here of teriyaki madness and Ichiro, which is my personal favorite. Then you've got Toshi's, which was sweet, but much lower viscosity, much runnier.
This is going to end up being a penis on the screen that you're drawing, right?
Oh, no. And then you have the spicy teriyaki from Yoshino and Choice Deli, which is not nearly as viscous and definitely not as sweet. Thoughts on this, Zach?
So
I feel like there are two, I have to call you guys out. I think there are two, maybe three flaws in this search that really made me search my soul. One of them is I'm not sure that one of the two people hosting the search likes teriyaki. I saw the picture from Tristan's neighborhood teriyaki place. It barely looks like teriyaki. So it makes me think that maybe he learned something. It's like if I saw a rock and someone told me it had a different name, I would never know what a rock, like I'm just confused. It's like someone gave him this neighborhood teriyaki.
Where are the Miyako stands in the chat? People, where are the Miyako stands? I know.
Listen, you can like it, but that's not teriyaki. That's fine. That's fine. If you have bad taste, you can like your thing, but that's not teriyaki. So I would just say qualifications are important. And then the other thing is that I see a lot of biasness. I looked at the map on, and I obviously can't share my screen here, but if I could, I would draw a penis over the Google Maps of this, where it seems like the entire East Side neglected. I'm sorry, but did the East Side not give you the bracket champion for dumplings? Is the East Side now not, I'm sorry, is that wrong? Dozone, the East Side chain that expanded to Seattle after the search was over?
No, it was in Seattle by the time the search was conducted.
That's very possible. I was kind of going through the math in my head there. But anyway, it's ridiculous because I just feel like if we're calling out Seattle's best teriyaki, it can be just Seattle. But then you guys are throwing in Mill Creek, which is, I would say, relatively far from Seattle. Okay, so let's look at this. There is nothing on the 405. You're telling me that... I mean, this is troubling. Thank you. There is missing. And can I just say, many of the best teriyaki restaurants, so we can either say it's Seattle's teriyaki. Now, you guys are in luck because I have personally sampled almost every single teriyaki restaurant on the East Side. And I am prepared to say that one of the two finalists tonight is better than all of those teriyaki restaurants. So you've kind of fumbled into this backwards. Only... have been saved now by my personal East Side knowledge, but really just, I feel like the planning here is really poor. And I have to call out the viscosity. This is having Tristan on, having someone who it's unclear if he doesn't like teriyaki, doesn't know what it is. That's fine. You know, that's him, but the viscosity is very important. And so we come into a final in Seattle's teriyaki where neither teriyaki has a high viscosity. And I questioned myself, there's teriyaki madness in Seattle. I've never had it. My teriyaki madness is in Kirkland, apparently unaffiliated. Googled this for a while, found a bunch of not related at all. Here's the thing though.
It's a free for all in what teriyaki places are doing.
Listen, the pictures are the same because my teriyaki madness in Portland, my local place that I've been to a few hundred times, let me tell you, high viscosity. Extremely high viscosity, extremely high sweetness. And since when is it a problem for the glaze to sit on top perfectly of the chicken? I'm listening. So I save up the podcast for kind of the final week and I marathon through them so I can kind of keep current and intellectual purity. So I'm not being biased over the course here. I want to come in fresh. I only listen to the takes as I'm eating. So I'm listening to these takes, getting angry inside at Tristan's teriyaki takes. And honestly, it was very difficult on me personally.
It's not, when you make a teriyaki, it should have a grill and a char, and it should have a sauce that becomes part of the essence of the chicken. There shouldn't be the chicken and then this viscous goo that sits on top of
it. It can be two parts. What is this either or?
Two parts.
Have you when you marinate something, you can also put a glaze on later. These are not necessarily separate. We can have mutual saucing and glazing. The marinade can be supplemented.
Teriyaki madness can have that. They just forgot to do the glazing part. They just did the saucing part. I'm sorry, but like it was just like a thick viscous goo teriyaki sauce sitting on top of some chicken. It was disgusting.
You're making me want to go there now. I've never been there before, but now I'm going to have to go.
Have fun.
Okay.
Before we make a decision here, first off, I want to bring in Fred.
I just want to hear Zach keep talking about teriyaki.
I honestly was getting so mad in the car driving back from Mill Creek, which is very far. Like, I cannot imagine you guys driving from where you are at. And honestly, I would not drive from Brenton
to go to Kevin do it every time.
I did drive to Renton one of the times.
I'm guessing that you live on the east side.
Yeah, but I mean, it's still like, I mean, frigate, like, listen, when we say Mill Creek, I was thinking like off the highway. It's like three Safeways off the highway. I'm like counting business malls as I'm going, like trying to get to Toshi's. Like, where am
I? Did you catch the Taco Time Northwest in Mill Creek, though? I saw that the last time. That was exciting.
Hopefully that's one of the ones Randy hasn't been to, because he is in for a double treat getting to go to Toshi's and a Taco Time Northwest.
There it is. There it is. Infrared, do you want to share some teriyaki takes while we got you here?
Well, I mean, there's two things. One, I vouch for Renmin. Like, the yummy teriyaki in Renmin are really good with very high viscosity. It's one by Avondale Road. It's right by where the Ross Dress for Less is.
That's how you know it's good teriyaki.
I would recommend for that, mainly because they have a mini mart right next door, and they took the wall basically in between the two of them, and they took it out. So two different of the actual teriyaki place, along with the mini mart, are actually the same place, but they run them with two different registers. So they technically have two different things, but they're the same one big, you know. You can stay there for hours. It's great. The second place that I love, and it makes me a little bit sad, is Rest in Peace for downtown Seattle. It is my number one teriyaki, the Osaka teriyaki. Second Pine, the greatest teriyaki of all time, in my opinion. That is like, you know, 95, 96 Michael Jordan type era of teriyaki there. That is, you have to understand that when you get there, you're going to fall. If you go there around, like, you know, new time, don't explain that you're going to be able to do anything besides fall asleep for the second half of work, because you will sleep instantly. They will give you about a pound and a half worth of teriyaki for $7. Like, it is the pound for pound greatest amount of teriyaki I will ever get. Now, maybe there are some illegal, you know, like, you know, stolen merchandise and things like that in the back as well. But that's different from the teriyaki. The teriyaki itself is amazing. It is now a Hard Rock Cafe, I believe, but back then, it was the greatest thing I ever had. So I do miss that. That's pound for pound. I do enjoy that. But I would say, if you have to go to teriyaki in, like, you know, the east side, there's the Nico in Redmond. There is the Yummy in Redmond. It's not going to be awful if you're in the Redmond area. Don't worry. I want all the people to know you don't have to only go into Seattle to get great teriyaki. You can get that on the east side as well.
Thank you for your boldness and bravery.
Yes. I have to be honest. All I have to do is be honest about it. So
I appreciate that.
I was trying to find the Osaka store. I couldn't find it. Okay, before we make our vote here, before we cast our vote here, we're going to do a poll for the listener choice for Seattle's best teriyaki. Are you ready to do that?
And I assume this is like all the teriyaki madnesses combined.
I can't remember.
Yeah, only co-hosts are not allowed to vote, as it turns out.
Oh, bullshit.
So we're just going to...
Rigged.
I don't know if we want to... We'll come back to this. Let's go through our choices now. That's true.
Mrs. Fantasy Genius went and changed her shirt. Because I don't know if this is actually Zach's take. I think this is more... She's nodding and saying, yes, it's Zach's take. Went and changed... Can you unmute yourself? Went and changed her shirt just to confront Zach's take about teriyaki. And she felt like the city of Renton was confronted with your takes about Miyako teriyaki. And if there's one thing that you do not question Mrs. Fantasy Genius in the city of Renton. Are you unmuted?
I'm unmuted. Zach.
Can you show yourself?
I'm showing myself. I thought we were cool.
Oh, this is very tense. Oh my God.
teriyaki is so much better. And viscosity? That's the reason. I need more information.
I like the idea that there's like a separate East Side teriyaki.
Oh no, Mrs. Fantasy Genius's bandwidth is low.
Oh, I saw the red shirt though. It reminds me of the logo for the Pelham cast. I don't understand what the two could have in common.
Weird. I didn't realize Renton was the East Side. I thought that's what you drove through to get to IKEA.
Katie
laughing. I don't know. The first time you could hear Katie was in the Renton slander.
Not a good plan. I've been drinking, and you don't talk to me about Okay, I like you though.
Unsurprisingly, it looks like Other is going to win our listener vote for Skettle's best teriyaki.
I mean, that really is true though, right? Teriyaki is provincial, and whatever you're used to having, I feel like, is what you like to have, which
is
fine.
That's a terrible search.
You are wrong unless it's high viscosity, but it's fine if you know you have what you like. It's like soccer clubs in like England where like there's one in every single town. You know, I feel like teriyaki in Seattle is much the same.
Well, I think Miyako should have been relegated.
The real winner is gyoza. Or,
okay, Tristan.
Got another one here. Another note. Raj Joseph needs a prize. I just like the idea.
Shouts, Raj. Like,
needs a prize.
Oh, look, Toshi's his
like
time
right
now.
At Carnival. That's what Pelhamcast Live is. Okay, so Zach, you have traveled all the way from the East Side to Mill Creek. You have been past three, maybe
wait, hold on.
Ways to get there.
Why don't you go? You go first. You make your pick first. Because I think we may disagree, and that can allow Zach to be the tiebreaker.
The decider.
Yeah.
If you will.
I will. I will continue to.
I've had these teriyakis within the last week. I had Yoshino teriyaki, and I thought the Yoshino spicy was, despite what Randy may controversially say, was a very delicious teriyaki. It was something that I am willing to travel all the way to the city of Seattle from Renton, Washington, home of the Super Bowl 48 champion Seattle Seahawks, to get this teriyaki. I want to be there. I want to talk to Yoshino. I want the experience of it, right? And I want to eat his teriyaki. And yesterday, I had Toshi's teriyaki, and with all due respect to the originator of Seattle-style teriyaki, I was eating this teriyaki, and I was saying to myself, this is not Seattle's best teriyaki. I cannot in good conscience. I wanted to love Toshi's teriyaki, but I wouldn't be true to myself if I said that this was Seattle's best teriyaki. And that's why I had to go with Yoshino teriyaki.
Well, I would say that my second visit to Toshi's, for whatever reason, was not quite as transcendent as the first, which is where it felt like the teriyaki, where like...
More notes are coming.
The chicken was cooked.
Viscosity better be the next one.
Perfectly. I mean, look, viscosity was not the deciding factor in this particular battle, but shouts to Ichiro Sushi and Teriyaki in Magnolia. Still the winner in my heart. Still though, it's high quality chicken. I mean, if you want to say that Mill Creek can't be Seattle's best teriyaki, I get that argument. I understand it. But I think if you are someone who loves Seattle-style teriyaki, if you're a connoisseur of teriyaki, you owe it to yourself. Your teriyaki experience is incomplete if you have not made a trip to Mill Creek to eat Toshi's Teriyaki Grill. It is my pick for Seattle's best teriyaki. And that leaves this in the hands of the decider, Zach Whitman.
You know, this is tough. So, I mean, I only had to drive to Mill Creek once, right? So I only had that one transcendent experience. Just to walk you guys through my background, I was scarred once. I went to Toshi's, one of the franchises. And I ate the teriyaki thinking it was special. It wasn't special. I went to a little sad. Toshi wasn't there. It wasn't in Mill Creek. It was just some other teriyaki and I had it.
On the grill? Flame grill?
No. This is a franchise, and I thought at that time Toshi was dead to me. I'm not going back to a Toshi. This is nothing special. I live, you know, like a few minutes from one. Never went.
And then I listen to the Pelton cast and I hear there's a Toshi and he's in the north. And I just need to go to Mill Creek and taste the real stuff. So I'm excited. I don't have my heart let down. I travel. I get there. Obviously, we're in COVID times. Teriyaki, I think, is a good search for COVID times in the sense that it actually keeps pretty well in the car, right, which is important for you with your three-hour journey to actually make it back to Boulevard Park. And I will say it was a very good teriyaki. Again, not a high viscosity, but I think probably offset by the fact that I was able to buy a bottle of the sauce for like $4. And then helpfully, they provided me with instructions on how to then apply that to future meals, which is just incredible, I think, generosity of spirit. I felt warm. It was awesome. And truly, the smokiness of the chicken. I think the fact that it tasted char like it had been on a grill was something that you don't get in every teriyaki. I then traveled to Capitol Hill on a following day, went to Yoshino, and ordered, you know, as is I will always do, ordered their starred item on the menu, which is the spicy teriyaki. And they slapped it into a clam shell. Not clear if it was compostable, by the way. Unclear on if they're following Seattle guidelines on that necessarily. The clamshell I got.
I think it was.
Okay.
Mine was maybe a little styrofoamy, maybe because I went at like 10:30 in the morning and no one was there. That may have played into the experience, but it's very questionable.
Styrofoam early in the morning.
I'm just saying it was questionable. I was looking at it, but obviously having a styrofoam teriyaki container does kind of make the experience better. So I wasn't complaining. And like, honestly, like I got it home and I was really excited to eat it. And I was thinking like, what's it going to be? I opened it up and I couldn't find the sauce. The sauce wasn't just part of the chicken. There was nothing besides the sauce on the chicken at that point. And this is after having driven home, listening to Tristan saying the rice was so integrated with the sauce. And I opened it up, a feast for the senses. I'm going to be drowning in sauce. And it just wasn't there.
Did you ask for extra sauce? Because that is,
I did not. Thing. Okay. I did not.
Yoshino, that was a great conversation we had. I really connected with you on a human level. Can you give me a little bit more sauce?
So I have to say, I don't think Yoshino was there. Again, probably too early in the day, which is also probably weighing into this. I do feel bad about that, but my car was getting serviced. I didn't want to drive into Seattle again. It was 10:20. Mistakes were made. But I will not penalize it. I feel like if I was to judge the extra sauce I had at Toshi's, that would be unfair. But really, like, what it comes down to, Tristan, I think you had a great point, maybe for the wrong reasons. But you had your two packages of teriyaki, and you didn't know which one was which. And I think that's a very common problem with teriyaki, right? It's a very replacement level thing. But what one of these restaurants has is that I could taste it and I could know where it came from. I could know exactly what it is, and that's because there was something distinct and special about it that I remembered and thought, this is what everything else should be. Maybe it doesn't have the exact kind of sauce I want, but it's special. And that is because the best teriyaki in Seattle is Toshi's Teriyaki in Mill Creek.
There it is. Who won did they end up tying the fan poll? Whatever ended up happening there, yeah. A tie between Toshi's Teriyaki Grill and other. I'm calling that a win for Toshi's.
Why do I agree to these searches? Bullshit. Every year, every September, you'll pick the wrong item.
How are you feeling about You Need a Burger, friend? There's been a lot of You Need a Burger slander in the comments here in the chat.
You Need a Burger is a good burger.
It's a very good burger. It's not Seattle's best burger. Loretta's is Seattle's best burger.
Seattle's best friend. All right.
Well, look, hey, we are only a year away from searching for Seattle's best fried chicken.
Didn't we do that this summer?
Mm-hmm. No, but we're like doing it as a legit search now.
Mm-hmm. No. Next summer?
Yeah. We do have to figure out a winter spring search for next year. So, you know, we've got a few months to consider that as we go through the football season here. Look, we need to thank Zach Whitman so much for being the decider once again, making the right call. Yeah, I will thank him. Thank you so much to all of our guests, Mina Kimes, Brooke Olsendam, Mike Sean Dugar, Natalie Weiner, DJ Infrared helping us out all night long, Randy Cote, Chris Smith, the fellow Talk and Taco Time co-host. Let's give it up to all of them for joining us. Yeah, I think by this point,
shout out to Randy.
I think by this point we've lost all the trolls who are just going to yell stuff.
It was like, I feel like a lot better.
Yeah.
Can we bring somebody special? Get Katie to unmute herself.
I'm unmuted.
Oh, hello. Only person who Katie muted throughout the night was Kevin.
That was an accident. I didn't mean to. I'm sorry.
It was the people's unmute. It was the people's mute. Everybody wanted to hear it.
What was this live show going to be without technical difficulties?
Just a few.
We want to thank, there's Katie, wow, on the screen for the first time ever. Look at all those people around you. Wow. Most importantly, thank you to Katie for helping us get this very, very strange Piltoncast live together. Technical difficulties and all, we actually managed to have things running relatively smoothly after the first half an hour. The only dick on the screen was Kevin Pelton.
I don't get it.
See, I guess we could have just had everybody's mics on for the last hour.
And Miss Fantasy Genius and Ben behind the scenes.
I think Mrs. Fantasy Genius was heard from with her notes.
And shouts to Katie for the Rose Apothecary sweatshirt, which is really just sending me right now. That's phenomenal.
Thank you.
The real winner of the search right here, Yosa.
I've worn 11 hats during this podcast.
Okay. Well, on that note, thanks for everybody who came and attended. Did we get addresses for people who won hats?
No, I still have to get those, so. Send them to me in the chat or Kayleen.
Or peltoncast@gmail.com. Oh, right. I guess if it doesn't work in the chat, that may be a more permanent solution. We look forward to seeing everybody next September. Hopefully by that point, we're able to do this in person again, but we'll definitely have to find some way to try to stream it and replicate this experience because it was awesome to have everybody who's not in Seattle be a part of this too. Thanks so much for coming.
Thanks for listening.
Box.
Woo!
Box.